This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, the monthly subscription box for geeks, gamers, and pop culture nerds. June's theme is Dystopia, featuring media from Terminator 2 and The Matrix, amongst others. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate, and when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. So go to lootcrate.com/super and enter code SUPER to save $3 on your new subscription today.
Tomatoes, fruit or vegetable?
For one, it's tomatoes, and I'm not gonna fight you on that because that's just the way it is.
No. Two, one, ugh, get that shit out of my mouth.
Three
and two vegetables.
Three, it's E3 week, so I'm not taking none of this vegetable bullshit.
Yeah. I just want to know where you
week.
Fall. On what side?
Vegetables. I know that's not really true, but it's a vegetable to me, damn it.
Guess what?
What? Hmm?
There was a court case in 1892 to decide the fate of whether a tomato was a fruit or a vegetable.
Yeah, who won?
And that case was marked as case U.S. 149.
I thought you were going to say, welcome to podcast 1892. Okay. And I was like, fuck.
That was really good because I actually didn't know where he was going for a bit. I'm sure you know.
Okay.
You were smelling it. You could also, you know, the other thing with, you always know they're vegetables because it warns you with its terrible taste. Yep. This is a vegetable.
But at the same time, you can't eat a pizza without tomato paste, right?
Yeah, tomato paste is fine because the will of the tomato has been crushed out of it.
Oh, are tomatoes like
tomato sauce?
Are tomatoes like your eggs, where it's like, I'll eat the ingredients in my things,
but
the raw thing is no good?
Because
I love raw tomatoes.
I'll eat a raw tomato, but like I'd most likely just pick it out.
Matt's eggs is all vegetables.
All vegetables.
Well, no, I like carrots and celery and broccoli, but that's it.
Okay.
And potatoes.
What about cauliflower?
No, fuck that.
Really? Because
yeah,
it's similar.
Yeah, get my face.
Okay.
Get my face.
What about peas?
Oh, wait. Peas and corn and beans are also fine.
Yeah, those are good.
I can.
But those are kind of different. They're like sprouts and shit.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
I can live without beans.
They're the musical fruit.
The more you eat.
The more you toot. Pat's dead.
Pat's dead.
Pat's dead today.
His body's tooting right now.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you die.
It's spoiling.
His blanket over his mattress is just a big bubble.
Just.
Like, you know when you die,
apparently,
you die in a certain way, you're like, your stomach just bloats up with like huge gas.
Yeah.
He's alive, but it's happening to him regardless. It's
like all the things that happen to a dead body.
But is he alive?
Like decomposition.
Dude,
but that's he's sleeping it off. He's sleeping off the decomposition.
Yeah. That's so
walk it
fucked
off,
up.
Champ.
Yeah. Could you imagine that disease that and like it tricks nature into thinking you're dead? But you're like, no, I'm alive though.
That's a stand.
that's
a super
that's
stand.
So
that's like when you're
fucked.
That's like the oh, fuck, what's it called? Where your body rots and it
yeah,
comes
yeah,
back
necrotizing fasciitis.
Yeah, yeah. That's
flesh eating disease.
Scary.
Your $4
that's
words
what that is,
there.
I guess.
Fucked up, man. Okay, so yo, I know it's E3 week.
I am dead, but I must die.
It's E3 week, but tell us about your necro skin.
Well, it's not so much about the necro skin. it's about the tanned skin from pool parties.
Oh yeah,
and fun
yeah,
times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Week didn't really matter up until Friday when I
did a sexy party.
Yeah. I jumped in a traveling vehicle with some friends. We went up to a place called Blue Mountain, which is up in the mountains of Ontario, the wild Canadian wilderness
at the water park.
At the water park. But they, you know, but they did have like motherfuckers hiking like right next to us.
Okay.
And they did have like rides, a little roller coaster, and like a zip lining and shit.
Right.
So yeah, we went up there and we just water partied and whatnot. There was an Overwatch group that did like their beach kind of Overwatch cosplay.
So let me, if there's a guy hiking nearby and he like looks over the mountain range and he sees a bunch of Overwatch cosplayers, does he think he's like in the Savage Land? Where he's like, what? Where am I? Did I find a new continent?
No, he's like, oh, I walked too far. He turns right around.
No, he's looking and he's starving for water. He's parched and his lips are cracking in the dry
beach.
He's like, shit, I walked to Japan.
He sees some Overwatch asses twerking at the pool. And
yours.
He's just like, this is a mirage. I gotta turn back. I'm on my way out. I'm about to die.
Look up there. Nothing escapes my sight. Yeah. There's a mountaineer up there. He's thirsty.
Oh, man. No.
That's fun.
It was a good time. And yeah, I decided to join my friends by doing a
twerking competition.
Doing a poolside Lucio. Twerking.
Yeah, I saw it.
That was fun. A little wetsuit and logo and so on. But more fun than that was I got myself some, like, waterproof portable speakers and just synced them up to with my phone and just blasted
and just dropped the beat
the whole weekend. Yeah. It was
okay,
because
I think the most fun thing you did was put three pairs of Lucio glasses on at the same time.
That was good too.
I think that was the most fun you've ever had in your life.
Very cool.
It was a very cool photo.
Like I went,
very cool.
Yeah.
And what do they call you? Oh, they call me Johnny Two Shades. Oh, but what about that guy? And just picture of me.
Johnny Two Shades
like, yo, fuck you.
What if Johnny Quad Shades rolls up? Then what the fuck you gonna do?
I'm out. But no, it was a good time. It was a good con. It was a very small one. I think there's only like 600 or 700 people that showed up.
Well, the notion of a con at like that kind of event.
It's the first
year
kind of
area.
So, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Like, yeah.
First time, first year and everything. And yeah, it really just went from pool party to hot tub party to room party back to pool party. And it was,
Better than like Montreal Shipfest that we went to.
It was. Yeah. It certainly was. And then they have a little like Main Street kind of setup, kind of almost like
Magfest?
Disney.
Oh, okay.
Where you kind of have like a little like brick road that leads to a couple cute shops, and so on. I did this one man roller coaster where you control the speed of it. It was fun. And I tried to zip line, and I always wanted to zip line. And for a while, I was like,
You've always wanted to do Assassin's Creed shit out your window.
I wanted to, and I wanted to do like indoor skydiving and all that kind of fun stuff. But I remember it was always like, I couldn't because there's a weight limit. And
on most things there is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the weight limit was 250. And I'm like, okay, I'm too big for that. It's never going to work. And recently I've gotten under that. So I was super stoked. I was like, yo, I'm finally under it. I can go do it now.
I wanted you to say, and recently I bulked up to 280, and I said, fuck it. And I'm still going to do it, and it worked.
Commit to the opposite.
What lies they tell.
Right? No, and what ended up happening was, yeah, I'm like, I can do it now. I'm 244. It's totally fine.
Congratulations.
They fucking put the straps on, and everything's going great.
Oh, yeah.
And then they put the helmet on. And Madrid's are like,
no.
Did that happen
So you cut them all off on the spot.
Had to go.
Didn't that happen when we went go-karting and helmet didn't fit you
At your bachelor party, I had to wear the fucking the stag hat helmet.
And that barely fit.
Yeah. You know, and by flattening out my dreads in this scenario, it still wasn't enough. And the helmet, as soon as I locked it, it was choking me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, I can't zip line while I'm trying to breathe. So
you need to breathe when you zip.
Need to breathe. Okay. So I didn't get to zip line, and I'm super bummed about that. And I probably won't be able to until my hair changes. So I guess I'm never ziplining.
With the coming of the seasons,
your hair changes. Yeah, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Or if someone invents, I don't know, a cool helmet that
accounts for people with hair
in the back for security.
This is Dreadmon, truly dread.
What if you've
that
got a mohawk
That just seems like you want
throw?
A weaker helmet.
No!
But a mohawk can get flattened, like, the guy won't care.
Like, they used to have hats that were, like, too small for everybody with big hair, so then they made big hat hair hats.
Big hat hair hat.
So just make like that.
Big hats for big boys.
Big boys need big helmets.
For the big
heads. Big head and big hair.
Yeah. They should make helmets for those people that are bobbleheads in real life.
Yeah.
Always constantly shaking.
Anyway, it was a fun time, and of course, like, always chill doing the cosplay kind of fun weekend. And I kind of took it as an experiment because I would like to possibly commit to a more accurate Lucio in the future. Mm-hmm. But
You're gonna have to beat Kenny though. He's got components that you don't have.
I've been keeping tabs. I've been keeping them tabs.
Yeah, but he can rollerblade.
Kenny can rollerblade, but Kenny's going for the hockey outfit.
Well, yeah.
One of you should go for the Buck Bumble.
Why would you go for any other outfit?
Because I don't play or like hockey.
Mm.
Go for the Buck Bumble bee.
Break it down. Oh, yeah, just get the big frog helmet.
Get for the big frog or bee
guy. No, the frog helmet is made for white people that want to do Lucio but can't.
I'm glad that they put that in there.
Yeah, it's true, eh?
That's what's up.
That's okay. So true.
Anyway, that's all. Nothing else. Not important.
Okay, God, it's a cool outfit, but that's so true.
I also ate a pretzel. Thanks for buying it. It was delicious.
It was a good pretzel, huh?
Yeah.
It was a good pretzel. Yeah, we have to blaze through our weeks a little bit because we have lots, lots to talk
that's
about.
That's all there is
but,
to it.
Over the weekend, I went to Beer Fest, third year in a row, and each year I'm like, oh, just, I don't want to drink beer. Why am I at fucking Beer Fest? Because they do have lots
third
of ciders.
Third year in a row.
they do have lots of ciders,
for the
though.
The kangaroo meat.
And the second year, they had like almost no ciders. They had like the one, they had Mad Jack. Yeah, I know. I've drank that like a million times. But this year, tons of fun ciders. Like, I had a really apple cherry cider. Oh boy, that was a treat. That was super good. Yeah, they have lots of food. Liam, you should go for sure one year because they do have lots of food. Like, there was a mac and cheese stand. There
was, they have all the trucks that come out, right?
Have little trucks on the side, but inside the Palais de Congrès, they just have tons of food stuff.
Dang,
so they had, like, they had pretzels with hot dogs and cheese in the middle, and
legal
they had tons
seafood.
Of fudge.
Legal seafood stands.
I would like
tons
to go
of fudge.
Then, yeah.
They had the Rub Steakhouse, the one I pointed at you that has the hockey puck burgers of they didn't have that set up, but they had that place. Yeah, there's kangaroo meat, but, like, and fuck kangaroos in general. Everyone knows this. No one would argue. But
it's a deserved comeuppance.
for all these years of hate.
Yep.
You know, finally.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really fun. I went with the entire pizza pasta coalition.
Of course.
Because I had to. And I went to a baptism, which was really fun, obviously.
Did
because
he dunk the baby?
Three times because it was like a Greek.
Did
like,
the baby do a power geyser?
He did not. I'm really glad I was there because the baby will surely remember.
Yeah.
But what comes with a baptism always comes another bunch of food. So we went to this Irish place, which is not typical for an Italian family. Like, you know, they go to an Italian place, have all the traditional stuff. We went there and I was like, okay, well, what's on the menu? Chicken wings, potato skins.
Italian
fish,
place?
No, an Irish place.
Okay.
All the Italians went to an Irish place. There's a hall and they rented it out.
Hmm.
What do you want to drink? Do you have this? Yeah, it's open bar. You can have anything. I'll have a Blue Lagoon, please. And everyone starts laughing at me. And my sister-in-law is like, aha, Blue Lagoon, that's a girl drink. I'm like, at least I'm not getting a dry martini to impress everyone. Melissa!
Wow,
if you're listening.
Up. Wow, the blow up.
And she was like, no, I'm not drinking it to be cool. And Leanna's like, yeah, you are. You do that all the time. And you told me once you were doing it to be cool. She's like, no, shut up. So, yeah, they had fish and chips and ribs as the main course. And candy as the dessert. So fucking good-ass time. And I watched more Preacher. Preacher's second episode, way, way more interesting and way, way cool. Because Jesse knows what's up now.
Okay.
He knows what he's got.
Okay.
And I watched.
Is he the preacher?
Custer.
He is the preacher, Jesse Custer. Knows what his power is now. He knows what his stand actually can do. And I watched the first episode of a new Netflix show. Well, I really wanted to watch Voltron because Voltron came out.
That's true. And I hear a lot of good things about it.
I heard some good things and I haven't started up. But I did see a new show with David Duchovny in it called Aquarius, where he's just a tough ass agent. Like, kind of a smarmy, like, not really Mulder type, and he's fighting, Charlie Manson. This takes place in the 60s, and his assignment is to track down, the Manson family. And it's called Aquarius.
Mm.
So just got added to Netflix, and we watched, the first two episodes, and also quite good, quite good. I'm interested to watch more of it, just to see if it pans out. It's nothing super special, but it's, pretty good so far, so. Yeah, I guess that's me, so, for the week.
Okay, I did a bunch of stuff, but I mainly played two games. I managed to finish Sly Cooper 2. Super, super good game, but it got a bit long in the tooth by the end. It was like 15 hours long about. And unlike like Mario, where as you go through it, you do more advanced things with your moves and, you know, your wall jumping and there's expertise to the platforming. Sly Cooper is a series that absolutely does not have expertise to the platforming.
It stays the same, like, most of the way.
Yeah, the main mechanic, and this is similar to, like, Infamous, is pressing circle near something will let you do what's called a spire jump, and you'll, like, hook on to that object, right? So a lot of it's like jump to something, spire jump, hook onto that object, jump to the next thing, spire jump, hook onto that object. So there's no, like, there isn't much mastery to it. You just kind of keep platforming, and the platforming is pretty much the same level of difficulty from beginning to end. And by the end, there's a huge variety of stuff. There must be 8 different styles of play throughout it, from like vertical shmup to like top down shooter to, regular sly platforming, stealth, fight scenes, one-on-one boss battles, like lots and lots of stuff. But the game was just a bit too long. And like, I jumped right into Sly 3, but it really feels like a, like Sly 2-2, basically. Like, it doesn't feel like a huge leap or anything. So okay. I think I'm going to have to take a little break before I actually really try to get into Sly 3. But Sly 2, super good. Really enjoyed it. And the other one is, SteamWorld Heist. Came out on the 3DS a little while ago.
Yeah, you were talking to this about me the other day.
Yeah. It came out on 3DS a little while ago. Just came out on PS4 and Vita. So I'm hooked on it. I played 11 hours on the Vita. I tried it on the 3DS and PS4 just to see, and all the versions seem just fine. I highly encourage you, if you like tactical RPGs, or in particular, if you're a fan of the modern XCOM games, to check it out, because it's basically a 2D side view XCOM Enemy Unknown with like a robot steampunk kind of
aesthetic.
Not steampunk, but like, anyway, steam powered robot robots. Art style. Yeah.
All right.
Very, very good game. I really highly encourage it. Just super, super good.
And I assume we all played Overwatch as well.
Yeah.
I think that's a given.
All played Overwatch. Yeah, what was your best play in the last week?
Oh, God. Probably
gotta go faster.
I got a team kill by Zarya. I popped the graviton surge on the hole in Ilios.
Yeah,
sucked everybody in.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, justice rained from above.
Dropped them all into the hole. And
everyone
died.
Fell in the hole and died.
Sick.
It was great.
Sick.
The only one that I got that was actually the play of the game was I was Soldier 76. It wasn't even that great. I think I just killed one person. With this standard gun, didn't use my ult yet. I didn't have it. And then someone came, a junk rat came and drove his tire off a cliff. I think we're on the Japanese Hanamura, and he just drove it off the cliff and killed himself. And that was the play of the game somehow. I don't quite get it. But my actual play of the game is that I was Pharah and we're in the Anubis map, and Mei put up a wall, and I see my team just going, oh. So then I just rocket jumped over it and shot everyone with a missile barrage and killed like 2 people. That was not a play of the game, even though it was 100 times cooler.
I know what Liam's was.
Yeah, it was his Mercy, and like we had to cap the point and we couldn't back up because we were in
Mercy
overtime.
Mercy pistol 5?
6.
That's
6.
Crazy.
6. It was the best. It wasn't
control.
Play of the game either.
It wasn't the play of the game.
No, I hit share, thankfully. Yeah. But it wasn't play of the game, and when I went back to the recording, it wasn't even the best play
the
that it picked out for me. No.
Wow.
The highlight was like I rezzed 3 guys and killed someone.
You know,
good thing for that there's a share.
Yeah, the share button saved
Blizzard
me there.
Said recently we want to redo the play of the game algorithm. It's not showing as much
it's not
as
when,
we
when not
to.
Quite right.
When someone shows me a clip of Toblerone,
Toblerone, I say Troglodog.
Okay, so
Troglodog.
His turret molten cores, and it starts getting a bunch of kills, and like his footage from his view is he's just staring at Widowmaker's ass for the whole thing. And it's like play of the I'm like, fuck you, man.
I don't know how many
play
of the games.
That's the best thing when you're playing as him and you use molten core from a distance to save your turret.
It's like, what are you doing in the meantime?
I don't know how many plays of the game where Troglobone stands there.
Yep.
And like at least Bastion, you are the turret,
or some, even Symmetra in some cases, but more so.
I've never seen a play of the game ever with Symmetra.
I got it twice, but it's tricky.
Yeah, but it's really tricky.
I've never seen one with Symmetra or Winston ever.
The only way to get it with Symmetra, really like viably, is to hit a group of people with your charge shot, like as they're approaching
the
turrets.
And you can get it with Winston by fucking raging out on a platform where you knock everybody off. Like, I forgot the name of the map, but there's a map where you've got like, I think like 3 of the of the sides have like a space you can get knocked off of, and that's the point.
Mm. Yeah.
You know
yeah,
the area.
Yeah, and Winston can just, yeah.
He can just knock you off, yeah, and okay. that's, the, there you go.
I know which one you're talking about, yeah.
Or wait for them to come up the bridge.
For Mercy, it's like if she revives three or four people,
oh,
then she's
have,
at a, she's at the point where she could get it depending
I,
on what
I have,
happens.
I have seen one Mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy
for, she gets it for rezzing for sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was so upset that I didn't get it. I was
on that
so
note,
upset.
I should probably, like, I want to bring up the fact that it's like, I would love to give you my thoughts on how Mirror's Edge Catalyst is. Unfortunately, Amazon has decided that I'm not worthy.
I offered you.
Didn't they
the
just
code?
Not get them?
I know, but and I said no because I'm about to get mine, right?
Are you?
I thought so. And then I went to go check to find out what the fuck's happening.
Was that what you were waiting for when
yeah.
I was over here last?
Yeah.
And you were like, it's not here yet.
It's okay. not here yet. Damn. And then I went to go check to see what I got in the mail and it wasn't that. It was a shirt. And then I'm like, well, fuck. And I rechecked the Amazon order, and the time on it has been
it
bumped.
It was being out to delivery
yeah,
when we
so
looked.
It was bumped from the fucking time it was in to sometime between now and August 6th.
Yeah, well.
So sometime in the next 2 months,
I
I'm going to be getting
I told
it.
You should call them, because it's obviously a stock problem, and they will either reimburse you or just give you store credit. They're
and then
really
you can buy it digitally
that.
In the meantime.
I'm yeah. gonna buy. What I want to do is buy it digitally and let the special edition come whenever.
Yeah,
because I'll be fine with that.
I don't have much to say.
I've had that happen before with special editions specifically.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
where, like,
you saying
the
this
normal ones
so
ship
close.
Out and like not the other ones. Because I got my normal version of Mirror's Edge from Amazon, no problem. Mm. But
I don't have much to say about it. But I did buy Mirror's Edge digitally and like I played through about like 30 minutes of
I
it.
I did too.
And one of my moves just wouldn't. Work. I don't know what it is. I mean, I guess it's a combination of me not knowing exactly what to do, but it wanted me to bounce off a wall and then do something. And she just wouldn't get the height. And I just stopped playing it. And I just, that's where I stopped. That was just,
I also, I'm also going to have to check back on Kirby Planet Robobot because, Robobot. Been too busy, but that shit looks super cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm so glad.
So thanks for joining us on the podcast. There's not
that
much
you
to talk
tuned
about.
Tuned into the podcast. I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
No, I'm so glad because I fucking woke up this morning and I checked my messages. Mothman sends me a link. He's like, this is the real E3 announcement no one fucking is talking about. I'm like, what is this? It's the trailer for Legend of Titan. And I watch it, and I go, oh, yeah. And
is this Chinese Overwatch?
Immediately fucking go to save and download this thing, because I know exactly what's going to happen.
It's
so I put the link in the docket,
make a bunch of money.
And
Legend
here's what I fucking
no
got.
No longer due to a copyright claim by Activision.
I honestly,
right?
I hope they sue and win, because it's fucking gross.
So I put that link aside, but I'm like, oh, I know what's happening here. So the first fucking thing
yeah,
I
yeah,
did
yeah, he downloaded
was
it.
Download this shit. Man,
have you,
oh
have you
man.
Seen it matter?
No, I haven't. Not
okay.
the trailer.
Yeah, I saw it this morning.
We saw screenshots a week or two ago.
China does not.
You could jump in like 10 seconds. And,
fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's just Reinhardt's shield.
No fucks given. Dude, these characters.
There's Reaper.
Dude, it's.
If you
look
see
there's just Tracer.
1-to-1.
No,
like,
it's like they literally
just. It's
just
Tracer's pulse pistols.
It.
They're not.
And this is the Hollywood map.
Yeah.
Zero attempts at anything else.
Oh my god, that's so much more blatant than I thought.
Yeah,
it's
not.
Just,
it's not like Overwatch.
Okay, yeah, it's not like
it
Overwatch.
It is Overwatch.
It is Overwatch.
These guys were so angry that they made their own Overwatch without McCree.
There's blood though. There's blood.
What I fucking don't
is Lucio even in this?
Not in this trailer.
No, of course not.
There's a bunch of characters who aren't in this
what
trailer.
What baffles me all the time
Widowmaker.
With stuff like this, because I know China.
That's just Widowmaker.
Yeah.
There's not even a change on her.
Zero changes.
The Reaper was slightly different, but that was just Widowmaker.
Farrah's a guy, right?
Farrah also always floats.
But the thing that I always get confused by when it comes to Chinese knockoffs is this. I know that there's no concept of ownership, so they don't give a shit, right? But if
Ryu,
you have the talent to make these assets,
why not
it's
make
upsetting.
It be
it's upsetting, isn't it?
That's the part that confuses me: is you have the talent and ability to make a game.
Why is that? Why is that a giant jukebox?
Just
Tracer was
out.
Next to it, and it was like 12 feet tall. And she was like 2.
I was looking into it, and apparently,
I'm
like,
see if I can rehost this footage somewhere or something. I don't know what, but
Daily Motion.
Maybe
I was
you
looking
can find
into
it.
And apparently, one of the big things as well is like, so IP rights actually do exist proper.
That Farrah? Is that a guy Farrah?
It's a guy Farrah.
They don't get respected very much when it comes to international IPs.
Yes.
Because apparently, this is just in my reading, Chinese protectionism in court is so aggressively slanted towards anyone, any citizen of or business of China.
Towards the infringer.
No, towards the Chinese person.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, the protectionism is, like, really, really aggressive.
So if you try.
Yeah.
Do you notice that Reaper just looks like Dante?
I read this thing about how, like, there was this this U.S. food company who had a branch in China. And these two, they raided it, right? And they arrested six people and put them in jail. Okay.
Bastion.
And those.
One-to-one, yep.
One-to-one Bastion.
And the reason they raided it and put these people in jail was because they saw a video of two employees at that company, that branch of this U.S. company, who dropped meat on the ground and then put it back in the processor.
Yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it turned out that those two people were Chinese journalists who just went undercover in the company to expose them. And they were the ones who dropped the meat and publicized the video to make the company look bad.
Huh.
And then six of their employees got arrested and thrown in jail.
That's a hustle.
Wow.
That's how, like, crazy Chinese protectionism is.
Wow, that's
like,
fucked.
Like, anything to fuck the other companies.
So remember, again, it's called Champions of Legends of Titans.
Legends of Titans.
Buy it now.
Yep. I'm sure someone else has rehosted it. If they haven't, I'll find a way. But
that's so weird. It's like... They changed Tracer and Reaper slightly, but Widowmaker and Bastion are one-to-one model rips.
Because you can't change that ass.
Yeah, right.
That
right.
ass is too good.
You can't.
You know what it is? Like, yeah.
Ass refused to change.
Oh, it is really frustrating, though.
It's again, not just because of the unoriginality and all that shit. It's because you could have done other
could've
things
done
with your talent.
Totally, yeah.
You know, and your programming and your UI
it's
guy.
All there. It's all there.
And you're
there.
All the pieces to make a new game are there.
And it's, yeah, this isn't the first time and it certainly won't be the last. And it's just
well,
like,
the Team Fortress one was the worst I'd seen.
I think it's by the same guys.
Yeah,
must be.
They must be the silver dollar of China.
No, that's high quality. That's not silver. Like,
but Silver Dollar rips off things that are popular. That's why I was going for.
So. Okay, yeah.
You know, and like, why not?
I'm sorry, Silver Dollar apologists
and
out there.
Because at the same time, though, when I look at the Bastion specifically, it's like, that is Bastion's assets.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That's not.
I saw those assets in a porn. I know that Bastion.
On an SFM.
Bastion,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't turn into a turret, I'll tell you that much.
Have you guys watched Space Patrol Luluco yet? It's relevant.
I have.
Fuck,
not.
Watch it. Goddamn.
We'll get
it's the best. You can watch the whole season in 40 minutes.
Legend of Titans.
I'll tell you what I have watched.
What have you
the
watched?
The upcoming ads that we need to cut to.
Okay.
Really?
Excuse me. Pat couldn't make it today.
No.
Pat's a little bit under the weather.
He got us all sick with his gross diseases.
There's some of that. And, you know, he was around earlier, but he kept passing out.
He kept passing out. And then when he went to sleep on his bed, he kept complaining because it's just not comfortable.
It's not comfortable.
It's not a good
tiny
bed.
Baby body.
What was wrong?
I think that, you know, when your baby body needs some baby rest.
Yeah.
You want to rest on a nice soft bed. You don't want no
like a cloud.
Nail Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I go down to the mattress shop.
You get bad sleep.
And all I got
Iron
is
Maiden.
Those. There's no options for me.
Usually you used to sleep on a conch shell, like a hard shell.
It's really
and
not.
And he had a bad night.
It's
so.
Not ideal.
Too bad there's no better options.
I tell you what, turns out there
Whoa.
Is. For baby bodies and normal bodies alike, if you head over to Casper Mattresses, you'll see they have a great selection of super soft mattresses at shockingly low prices. It's crazy.
Wow,
for baby
really?
Bodies and man bodies alike.
Telling you, Casper.com/superbest, using the code superbest, gets you $50 off of your mattress purchase. And you know, and it's a mattress purchase that you get to try out for 100 days already to find out just how soft it is.
I actually really love the 100-day back guarantee because that's fucking nuts that you can send back a mattress like that.
And it's not even that you send it back; they donate it to a local charity.
You're right; they donate
it.
They don't. You don't even send it back.
And there's all these crazy things like it's $950 for a king size bed. For a king, like a king can afford any type of bed. He's a fucking king.
Yeah.
But $950 is a fucking steal.
You know, especially with normal mattresses going way over $1,500.
Yeah.
It's out of control. And you want to get that soft memory foam all up in your creases. Your creases. It feels good. I can tell you because I got one. Yeah. It's good. So, it's once again, good crease. once again, that's casper.com/superbest with the promo code superbest. Don't be like Pat. Get good sleep. Save your back.
Get a normal body.
Thanks, Casper.
Thanks, Casper.
So it turns out that a dystopia doesn't just mean a perfect society.
All these fucking
one horrible.
All these
thing.
Super nerds are yelling at us that we don't know what it means.
Oh shit!
And you know what? I don't know what it means really.
Our definition of dystopia definitely does include what we said. But it turns out, really, it includes much more, including really just shitty places.
Okay. Like modern-day America.
So, Detroit is still correct.
Detroit is a dystopia.
Yeah.
Right?
Right now.
We need to expand our definition to really accurately encompass.
So, what's another fictional world that is not what we mentioned and might fit into?
The Mushroom Kingdom.
Terminator 2.
No, we said that last time.
Fallout 4.
Groznygrad.
The Bioshock
Infinite.
But what's one we didn't say?
Fist of the North Star.
Katamari Damacy. The king just fucking rolls up everything and turns it into stars.
Right? Yeah. When Shin's ruling from his tower. Right? Yeah.
Okay. I still don't know what it means, really.
It's a broad theme, but I'll tell you what.
Shitty future place, or can it be shitty anytime?
Maybe Loot Crate can fill you in.
Okay.
If you get your box full of dystopia, you'll look at the items inside, and your understanding will grow.
Okay.
Because this month's theme is dystopia. Yeah. And Loot Crate, of course, is the service that brings you less than $20 a month, you're getting 48 items that are themed to dystopia for this month, and it's all that good stuff that you love because you listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So we talked about the things you're getting, but there's also going to be including some Matrix gear in there, and possibly
stuff that vaguely fits in with the theme.
And if you want to get in, you have till the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific, so that's a couple days from now, but you can still get in on dystopia.
It also includes, I think how this is spelled is amusing, a quote-unquote dystoporific monthly tee.
Ooh.
Get in there for your dystoporific t-shirt.
You should be sentenced to a dystopia for using that pun.
That is a cromulent word.
Quickly, RoboCop, Terminator versus Neo. Go. Who wins?
Neo.
No, we're always RoboCop. Shut up.
Fuck. God damn it. I forget every time.
Always RoboCop.
So, lootcrate.com/super is the place to go. Promo code is super, and you save $3 on your new subscription today. And tell you what, that's already a pretty cheap subscription. So
it really is.
We want to thank Loot Crate for their dystopia and hopefully not anger our dystopian overlords.
Yeah, no.
With
our
sacrifices.
There's many of them. But thank you very much for your horrible dystopia.
Thanks, Loot Crate.
All right, E3, we got a lot to go down.
E3.
I guess we do.
So what's the format here?
Well,
Guardian.
You know what? Let's get this single piece of non-E3 news that happened just week that I wrote down here was just the fact that you're going to be able to play as all DLC Street Fighter characters in the story mode.
Yeah, that is
that
big deal, actually.
And I thought that was pretty cool because that's a nice little bonus for everybody.
Specifically since you failed to deliver one last month.
Yeah, no, it's really shitty that they weren't able to deliver and they weren't very communicative about it.
Yeah, Haunts specifically took that on him.
He
said that was his fault for not saying that and for putting out a hype tweet without being honest.
And they addressed it really sincerely and said, no, we're going to do better. Mm-hmm. And like, Haunts is cool, so I trust him on that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
But, in theory, it's like the schedule is like technically down a character.
Yeah.
But you're going to get that preview inside the story mode. They're saying they're obviously not the final balanced versions.
Yeah, so they'll be like Rash and Killer Instinct when he first showed up.
And like one of the guys he got to play as Rog for one round, a journalist. And he got to take no pictures, and Combo Fiend would answer no questions.
Wow.
But
he let him just see that it's there, and
he let him dick around with a Balrog for one match, and
dang,
that was it.
That's cold, Combo Fiend.
Yeah, and anytime he'd do a thing and go like, oh, is that? And Combo Fiend would just shrug and be like,
no,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
And like, what he was able to figure out was that basically he's like, his jab is not the same, it's worse, but it's not as abusable, but it still has some uses. His
plus Barrel guy's a cool design too.
Yeah, he's got the hood look on. The default, exactly. Yeah. His V skill is
punching.
He does the turnaround, but then no punch comes out. It's just the dodge. And if you follow it up with a punch, he does a quick dash punch. And if you follow it up with a kick, he does an uppercut. But it's a manual
cool.
TAP kind of thing.
That's really cool. Like some Steve Fox shit.
Yeah, and then he's like, and it's V-trigger. He buffs and goes into a rage mode, but we don't know what it does.
Right.
So
no specifics anyway. Yeah,
yeah, so we're going to get to preview that soon.
I bet it raises his damage.
That's cool. And screenshots of the story mode look pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Dude, did you look at any
minutes
of the
footage? Yeah. Solid stuff.
I didn't watch the 10 minutes of footage because I was like, ah, that's kind of a spoiler.
I skimmed it and like the quality on display is totally up there with like MKX.
MKX.
It's really good looking. It looks like an anime.
There's location. My test was going to be is, are you in environments that we haven't seen stages for?
Yeah.
And are there non-playable models talking and doing things?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes.
Check
to both
those boxes. You know, it looks like a fucking Street Fighter V anime.
Yep.
It's good.
And 4 hours is a good length, considering.
They originally said over an hour, and now 3 to 4, which I'm going to take as 3 hours and 1 minute.
We got to see the answer to what Nikali's devouring actually is in that video. Yes,
I'm
so
excited to hear
weird.
The voice acting.
He just fucking blobs into liquid and just absorbs you. It's not at all what I was thinking.
What'd you think? He's gonna, like, open his mouth?
I thought he was gonna, like, just put you, grab
Soul
you with his
suck.
Hands, like his wind pose, and just, like, suck you into his,
like
into
Shang
his body.
Or
yeah,
something.
Like every other.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he just blobs onto you like a fucking goo ball. I'm
That's
like,
cool.
It's nasty. Sure.
It's cool if you're Glacius.
I guess.
Glacius.
Anyway.
Is cool.
Alright, so.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much
that's
most
that.
Of it.
That's
yeah.
about that. So, bam! Day one, E3, Bethesda, everything you need to know.
So we're just gonna go down them in order.
All right. Dishonored 2.
Looks fine. I'm not going to play it.
Looks fine. I wasn't a huge fan of the first Dishonored.
Neither was
so,
I. What about you, Willie?
I really liked hearing... Sorry.
I learned about Dishonored through the lens of working on Thief and people comparing it. I've never really looked into Dishonored. I hear it's actually pretty cool, but I'm not super duper interested. So for me, it's like, I'll get around to it when I'm done with the other stuff I want to focus
it's
on.
It's like one of those games where I played it, I didn't really feel there's anything wrong with it, but I didn't really, where I was at least, didn't feel there's anything too special about it.
Like the
I
character
just,
design, though.
Just dropped off.
Good. Yeah, no, the art's really good.
Those powers
were
cool, though.
I think
that
the powers are cool. But like, I think, ironically, I think the new game mode where you can choose not to accept your powers is fucking sick.
Just go in, like,
without
bare
your
minimum,
powers, yeah.
Just guns.
I like that there's, like,
that's
actual
cool.
writing to support that, and it's not just, like,
Checkbox. It's like, do you accept this gift? No.
No, yeah. And also, kudos.
What's it called when you're naked in DS?
I can't. In which, sorry?
In DS.
Oh, what do you call it when you just
the
be naked?
Fucking filth monger. I don't fucking
whatever the
filth monger.
Whatever the shitty class. Yeah.
Yeah. The I can't remember.
Not inebriate. Fuck. It's
and kudos
me.
To them for including Dishonored with the game.
That's always
well.
A good thing.
That's always great.
Yeah. If you pre-order Dishonored 2, you get Dishonored on the Xbox One and PS4 for free.
Yeah, probably on PC too.
Yeah, I assume so.
There was a lot of games doing that on Xbox
deprived.
One. With, like,
deprived.
Yeah.
DS thing.
Deprived? I don't know.
Deprived because you don't have anything. Deprived.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
you're right.
Pattern.
Those are different. Yeah.
There's too much.
Good. That's good.
Or me.
We had Elder Scrolls card game.
Sure.
It exists.
That is a game.
That is
cards.
A game. Check that box.
All right. We had Fallout 4 coming to VR. And Nuka World.
I'm curious about Fallout 4 in VR. Are they just going to plug it in and let you walk around? Because that's going to be weird if they don't adjust stuff. They have to make adjustments, so that's not going to
play super nice. I was saying when we stream the conference, if it's a full game that's just rejiggered to play with VR, congratulations. You're playing a VR game of a game that's almost 2 years old at that point. And if it's just like a basic VR experience, congratulations. You're playing a VR experience.
Yeah.
And you'll play it around for it for like an hour.
Honestly, I'd be more interested in the experience because it'll be like properly tailored to VR.
Exactly. You know? So you and I talked about this a little bit with Pat.
It's very well documented.
You can't just throw on VR
it doesn't work.
Camera head onto normal third person game body.
First person.
First person game body for that matter. Yeah.
Just
speed,
doesn't act right.
It needs to feel right. And so can Fallout 4 work with a completely adjusted movement speed?
Maybe. I don't know.
Is this on Fallout 4? That type of stuff is super long. You're going to want to, like, you know what I mean?
It's hard to say, you know?
It's difficult
and I'm
to
sure
measure.
Some people, no matter what, are going to do it, and they're going to have a blast, because, like, people have been wanting to be in Bethesda's world for fucking ever, so.
Yeah.
It's cool, but I don't know if
all... 80-hour VR experience coming
80
soon.
Plus, yeah, exactly. Prepare your eyeballs. Comes with a free prescription.
And eye drops, yeah. For that matter. We've got the Elder Scrolls Online Dark Brotherhood expansion.
I couldn't even...
Check that box.
Don't
we've
have anything to say.
The fucking ridiculous... What is this? It's Prey!
Shit, yeah, that fucking blew our minds. You weren't there for the stream.
I watched it and was equally shocked that
we fucking
title
jumped
drop.
Out of our
we didn't
seat.
Think it would be Prey.
Couldn't believe
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Because that just... I'm like, who's this guy? He's looking in his eye in the mirror. And he's doing some Groundhog Day shit.
So, like, I don't really give any shit for the first Prey. Not because it's bad. I just never played it and I don't care.
But I cared a lot about Prey too because its concept trailer was so awesome.
My hearts are out to you, Prey fans, because now Prey is, as you wanted it, is kind of fucked.
Yeah.
But this game looks fucking dope. So.
This looks completely different from what
but
Prey was,
you,
right?
You do get the feeling that this was maybe another concept and they just kind of attached the name. Because it's actually has nothing to do. Prey 1 was a weird Turok-style game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most of what I remember was hearing about its cool, like, portal tech.
Yeah,
where
a
you
lot
have,
of portal
you
stuff.
Jump through it into another room or whatever. But then actual Portal came out, and it was a more impressive version of that.
But yeah. So it was so refined and like to the
so
point.
And then that was kind of all I heard.
But still, it's a fucking horror survival horror game, so I'm always down.
Looks really cool. I like the Groundhog Day bit at the beginning. Yeah, I hope they do something with that.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was definitely
a little bit of Dead Space in there with, I guess, what we saw of the monster design.
It looks like it might be quite shootery though. Like the latter half of the trailer is very shoot gun gun. So.
I don't mind.
Looks cool though. I'm very keen to see more of that.
Yeah, yeah. I wish there was like a full gameplay thing, but what can you do?
Yeah.
Skyrim re-release.
They did what they had to.
Like to really get people interested, because I played original Skyrim for like a few hours, like 3 or 4 hours or whatever. I was like, eh. But that looked way more work than I thought.
Yeah. Well, the big deal was adding mods to console. Yeah. Wasn't it?
It was they completely redid
Macho
the graphics
man.
And the effects. It's basically. It's got new assets, and it's also up to the what would be ultra quality on PC.
I think it looked a little better than that.
Because they redid the textures as well.
Oh, I didn't know
on top
that.
Of, they did both. And added mod support as well. So, like, it's...
And all the DLC, we assume.
Oh, yeah, and right? I assume all the DLC. I don't know if that was confirmed, but, like,
remember
him. Only way to do it. If it was a raw port, it wouldn't be enough.
If it's just an HD up-res.
Yeah, it needed the mod support, and kudos to them for getting that in. So.
Yeah, it was like, I don't really care. When this was a rumor, like, 2 weeks ago, and now when it actually showed, I was like, well, okay.
Yeah, they made it a very worthwhile purchase. Work there. Yeah.
At some point in your future lifetime, there will be an Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah, what an announcement.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute, though.
And the return of the badasses you know and love from the Quake world.
All the memorable characters from Quake and Quake 2 and Quake 3 and Quake 4.
In the new game and enemy territory. That announced Quake Champions.
Yeah, it seems like it's a hero shooter by Saber, who don't exactly have a star-studded history.
Holy, do you know what Saber made in the past?
Can you name one game by Saber?
Saber. No, I can't.
Do the words inversion mean anything to you?
Bull.
They did a lot of stuff.
They're still in business.
They did inversion, rest in peace department more recently.
R.I.P.D.
God mode. I think their highlights are they did the Halo 1 on 360.
A trustworthy pedigree to hand the Quake brand to.
Yeah, but they did the really good port of Halo on 360, and they did Halo Online for Russia.
But Bethesda and id, like, they would not give it to no one.
In the light of a new Doom that everyone loves, this is what we're doing with Quake.
I'm just not sure. That's all. Like, this CG trailer wasn't enough for me to... really make a call,
ID,
but
I always
as,
forget
if
how to
it's
say it.
Just a hero shooter with no traditional Quake gameplay, I don't want to play it.
Okay,
I
so
legit just will not even...
What
the
is
thing.
The origin of hero shooters?
I
guess...
Maybe... I don't know.
Shooters?
Hero shooters.
Maybe the Team Fortress mod.
Maybe Team Fortress.
For Quake.
with
ironically.
Personable characters.
No, shooters, they were not personable in that mod.
Shooters with unique loadouts that you used.
Maybe the Team Fortress mod for Quake, but I wouldn't really know. There's probably some military shooter way back when where you could be a medic or something like that.
But Team Fortress was probably the one that blew it up.
Yeah.
It kind of popularized it, I guess.
In the way that Mephensive but Ancients blew the whole thing up.
Maybe.
I don't think we know enough.
I don't think I know enough. But
just curious.
If I would pick one, it would be TF2. Team Fortress, the first priority.
Because I'm wondering if, like, you know, because Team Fortress and Team Fortress 2, of course, have been around forever, and then it's like Overwatch hits, and I'm wondering if now it's like, okay, with that making a ton of money, we're going to see other hero shooters coming out that could have come out before, but are now just hitting with the same timing as Overwatch.
I think a big part of it is like everyone took a stab at the MOBA business, and then a couple companies who kind of thought it through said, okay, well, let's just apply MOBA ideologies to other gameplay styles.
Of course.
So we just had Overwatch and Battleborn launch, but also Paragon.
Yeah, Paragon. Lawbreakers
just launched. Lawbreakers is coming.
I always forget about that.
There's quite a few.
What's the one that we always see? It's a single word name, and we saw it at PAX on the floor, and we go, there's that thing again, and then we're going to forget about it.
It was
cartoony art style.
Battleborn? Oh, God.
Not Battleborn. It's the other one.
There was another one.
Oh, the Microsoft one.
Yeah. Smite.
Well, there's also Smite,
but not Smite.
Gigantic.
Gigantic, yes.
That one looks good, but.
Yeah. To go back to Quake really briefly, Quake 1 had a really, really brief single player, nothing campaign. Then it had multiplayer and a really popularized online deathmatch at the time, right? And Quake 2 had a bigger story mode, still a lot of like online shooting. Quake 3 had nothing but online arena based, and I don't even know what Quake 4 had. I think it had a single player. Mm-hmm. So to say like it's the Quake you know and remember, like, is kind of a disingenuous thing, because 3 out of the 4 mainline Quake games had a single player component and no heroes or memorable characters at all. There was the alien race to Strog. And there's Quakeman or whatever.
So, you know,
Quaker Oats guy.
It's still a little early in that, like, this might turn out to be super fun. But,
for sure.
Conceptually, it just seems a little odd.
Yeah. They will never displace Metroid Prime Hunter as the best hero.
Never.
That's a hero shooter. He's totally right.
Yeah.
Dude, that game was so good online, and it came out on the Wii U, but GameSpy is dead, so no more online.
Technically, GoldenEye.
Metroid Prime.
That's like saying Quake's a hero shooter.
Or Hunters, rather.
Yeah, you're right.
Hunters is totally a hero shooter.
Hunters is a hero shooter. Not Echoes, Hunters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Though Echoes was what brought the Mega Powers together in that right
map. Mega Powers!
Next, we got the EA press conference. And
these are in backwards order. That's okay, though.
Sorry, was EA first?
Yeah, it was, but that's okay. First by like
just
a few
a heads
hours.
Up, the next day might be organized backwards in that list, too.
Okay, well, I got EA, Microsoft, and then Sony, and then Ubisoft. But it was the other way around. Yeah. You're right.
It's fine.
Okay, so at the EA conference, we got Battlefield 1. Lots of details. Zeppelins, dynamic weather, trailer, anything you missed. There's all kinds of shit that we know about it now.
It looks really pretty. If Pat was here, someone would want to talk about it, but I don't know if any of us are really interested in that.
It certainly looks cooler than any other battle. Like, I've never actually played. I say I played Battlefield Bad Company, but aside from that, looks cool. Yeah. World War One looks kind of interesting.
I think it's comfortably sitting in the, especially with that, like what we know about the pre-orders and stuff, that it's comfortably sitting in the slot of, this is the next-gen shooter that the world will be playing.
Possibly, yeah.
Judging by its trailer response versus Call of Duty.
Most likely.
Yeah. And, you know, and from that, you can then say that Titanfall 2 will be what takes on Infinite Warfare head-to-head, because that quality is fucking so strong right now.
Mm-hmm.
Single-player trailer for Titanfall 2 looks pretty cool.
It does.
Gave me what I wanted, and I like seeing that fastball special.
Okay, by the way, that's not actually Optimus Prime's voice.
No, I realized Pat said it, and I was like, oh, really? Okay.
No, it's not.
But
it's not.
It's they're trying to be.
No,
it's
I know, but Pat says everything is literally everything.
Yeah, exactly. The Titan,
hard to parse.
No, there were voices in the first one, and it's like they're more mechanized, but that's totally not what your thing is, what you're hearing there.
Yeah, no, it's not. It sounds similar.
That multiplayer trailer was like, Yeah, like Matt said, it's like, this is too cool to be real.
There's no one, there's no one's hands can possibly do all that cool shit and in that sequence.
And like, you're doing, and like, you are doing all that stuff, but then you introduce the zip lining and swinging, and it's this whole thing. There's a one moment where you jump off of a wall, you swing, you zip line around a corner, shoots a guy, and then fucking swings through a thing, and then you swing off of the enemy mech into your own behind him. It catches you, and then you land, and oh,
it's sick.
And then, of course, the final shot of that multiplayer trailer where you shoot your Doom laser out, blow his up, eject out of yours. You're both in midair.
Flip
the bird,
which I already said was the hypest shit ever from part one. It's when you both eject and you're fighting in midair.
Yeah.
And now it's like you zip line to him in the air and kick his ass. Like, fuck me. This is so good. I can't believe you took the formula and you just
amped it up.
Oh,
dialed it in.
Oh,
action, yeah, man.
So, I'm really glad because I was always like, there's no single player, but I like cool mechs and whatever. And when we sat down, we did it for Mecha Week. I was like, oh no, there's no single player, but oh, this is so cool.
So fun.
Regardless. And now it has a single player, but now the multiplayer looks even fucking sicker.
And all the DLC is going to be free.
I didn't know that.
I came so close to buying Titanfall so many times, but the problem is always I don't have a gold subscription and I don't want to get one. And I came so close so many times.
Yeah,
I'm going to play this one now, finally.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I didn't have PSN Plus for a while.
Mm-hmm. I still don't have it because I don't want one.
Yeah, but until I started using Vita stuff, that I was using it. But in any case, though, all DLC will be free, and it's like, that right there is a really, really competitive product.
Well, they fragmented their base really bad with
no
the
fucking
first game.
Robots and there's no mechs in Call of Duty.
I mean, there might be, but they're not on that level. No. Whatever they are is not going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
We got spaceships and
then exosuits.
Exo shit, yeah.
Exo shit.
Exo mana.
Strap on your exo mano shit.
That's fine.
That's the new line.
Exo mano shit.
Battlefront 2, Star Wars games are coming.
Sure. Really disappointed they didn't show anything of the Star Wars. Well, they showed a little
bit.
They did.
They showed 3 seconds.
But, like, it's the one that I'm, like, super duper interested in. Like, yeah, I forgot about that. Someone asked on the stream, like, what are you disappointed that they didn't really show? I'm like, I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't have a long, like, gameplay demo of that, because that's what I'm really looking forward to. But what can you
do? It looks gorgeous, so I hope they can just keep up with that.
We got to see we're working on it trailer for Mass Effect Andromeda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of nothing trailer.
It was Call of Duty dog's jaw hanging open. It was one of those trailers.
One of those kind of things, yeah.
Bang.
What happened to Call of Duty dog? I should have Plague Mink another
he
one.
He died. Riley died.
There's a lot of gas left in that joke tank for Call of Duty dog, I swear. He's more popular and relevant than ever.
Soon, we'll be ready to live the journey in FIFA 17.
Live the journey, mate.
So we said, who's going to direct this? Guy Ritchie? Edgar Wright?
Fucking wish.
Get them all in there. Line them up.
Get all of them. Get all
them
your...
up.
So...
tasty
FIFA,
British directors.
FIFA 17 has a big elaborate story mode on top of a bunch of other bullshit we don't care about.
Yeah.
Where you play as a British guy.
As a hooligan.
And you try to become the soccer lord.
Footy lord. So shut up.
Lord, foot lord.
Yeah. Football lord.
Yeah. So it could be a thing.
Trash.
But every fucking sports game, sim, whatever, the NHL, whatever, by EA should have a fucking story mode.
Sports movies are fun. And I really think that I would buy more sports games if they had a good sports movie included with them.
Yeah.
Good sports movie in the game. That's
like,
a good thing.
Like FIFA should come with the big green.
Yeah. Yes. Whatever that is.
Give me
my
dialogue choices. Where are you going to deck him?
Are you planning to just fall on the floor and act like a baby?
No. Well, you're out of the team.
Who do you swear?
You gotta mash X to cry on the field.
Do you swear on your dad?
You swear or do
swear
you swear on
your
mom?
Yeah.
Perhaps swear on your sis.
Yeah.
Who do you swear on?
Me mom.
We gotta look.
Will you perform a ludicrous display?
We've got the a look at FE. About a cub in the forest.
That was it's by Zoink Games, who I think they're the guys who made
Zoink.
I think they made Stick It to the Man.
I don't know what that is.
Well, like, and
that means nothing.
And Zombie Vikings that came out on PS4.
Oh, okay, that
those guys. I think it's those guys. I'm not 100% sure. And it seems like it's a small open world game with this kind of like oversaturated black plasticky look. Everything's made
out
of
this. That sounds very appealing.
It's really neat, actually.
Okay.
No, like don't
sound
write it
good.
Don't write it off. It looks
everything
really
looks
neat.
Like garbage bags.
And you play as this little cute animal and you sing to everyone.
Yeah, just play Bear Simulator on Steam.
But now everyone's going to get confused.
It is.
Because
that
your game is called
trash
Fe.
And a rip-off.
But then hashtag Fe.
Dude, you know why it's called Fe? Because I bet it's not black plastic. I bet it's iron. F-E.
F-E, really?
I bet that's what it is.
Huh.
Yeah,
that's my,
okay.
That my personal
periodic table.
I'm sure marketing loves that name. Yeah.
Got to get on that Breaking
but,
Bad crowd.
More importantly, when they did that, they also announced an initiative that EA was going forward with, where they were gonna help indie games like this and help fund and market them and not take any of the profits from them. Which I guess implies they're just gonna break even and then try to work with them after the fact.
There was that awkward pause, right? Where it was like, we want all the profits to go to the developers.
Yeah. No, it was, that's actually really cool. So, hopefully we'll see more come from that.
See,
so.
We're not super evil.
Right. And of
Where's
course.
The applause.
Yeah.
They actually had like a super not evil press conference. Like by the end of it, me and Pat were like, what? That was fine, actually. Mm. Bit too much sports for our taste, but.
They minimized the sacrifices.
Yeah, it's EA, exactly. So.
Only one blood ritual, not bad. And Bulletstorm Remaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't on the stage, but
apparently leaked.
Apparently leaked. I'll fucking play that. I never finished Bulletstorm.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's decent on the whole.
You're just kind of scrolling there. What's up?
Well, I was going to go to UB next because they were chronologically.
No, Microsoft
was
first in the morning.
First.
Okay.
It was Microsoft, PC, Ubisoft, Sony.
Yeah, okay. Blurring altogether.
Oh, everything's blurred.
Oh, God. Slimmer, sleeker Xbox One S.
I'll fucking buy that.
The S is for sexy.
Yeah.
Well,
so hearts out to Microsoft who had their fucking everything leaked. Like,
yeah,
that's
sucks.
Super shitty. But whatever.
What year was it where Sony got everything leaked and they made a joke on stage? We're like, we do have
it
some
was,
things.
It was
wasn't
last
year. It was like 2 years ago.
I think it was PSX Street Fighter V.
No, this was before that.
Okay,
yeah,
that, cause
I do remember.
That they made a gag about that
it was,
too.
I think it was E3 2 years ago because I remember when it was the
games were there?
It was the GameSpot sit down. They were talking to what's his name, and he was like joking about.
It was Jack Tran that made a joke like, "We do have something.
Something okay. You haven't heard about yet."
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's. I think you should always make a joke.
Yeah, definitely.
Just to let people know.
Aisha Tyler took her stabs, but,
yeah.
Yeah, so we got the Xbox S, and it's white.
It's nice.
There's no Kinect compatibility on it.
Way smaller than we all thought.
Yeah.
Way smaller. No Kinect compatibility.
Good.
But there is a device you can buy if you want that.
If
but
you want
You're not
it.
Totally cut out.
I'm guessing you can just talk to your headset to make it listen.
I think I read that was a feature in one of the recent updates, but I don't even have a headset for my Xbox One, so I'm not sure. You'll have to test that.
It comes with, no?
Pretty sure.
Oh, well, maybe I got
one.
Mine did.
No, you're right, the little skinny one. Yeah,
yeah.
It's in the box.
I got
so,
one.
So I don't have one accessible to me immediately. Yeah.
It'd be weird to ditch that feature after pushing it, but in any case,
There was a cool thing that came out from Rod Ferguson, the guy who's the head of Coalition, who make the Gears games now, where he said that he basically implied that the Xbox One S, probably just due to the parts they're using, has a slightly more powerful GPU and CPU, but only slightly. But he said it does make a little difference, and the game does run a little smoother on the Xbox One S.
I think 4. This also supports 4K as well as
yeah,
one of the features.
For media, it supports 4K.
Yeah, yeah.
Scorpio is the proper 1.5.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I think.
But Rod Ferguson implied that it's just a insignificant amount more powerful.
Yeah, just a dollop.
But just a little bit.
Just a dollop more power.
I think, wasn't that the same with the Slim?
Yes. Yeah, don't I remember
I'm
something
I'm
about
sure.
that?
Maybe.
I don't know for sure.
But
and this is like $299
Yeah, savage
fucking
price drop.
Savage price drop.
And the controller's got all the rubberization from the elites and stuff.
It's not quite the elite, but that's a good part to carry over.
I saw some mock-ups, some people doing their woolly variation colors.
Yeah, make your own controller now.
And I'm like, hey man, the purple and green, say what you want. Ava was good enough for Ava Unit 1, it's good enough for me.
And how did that turn out for Ava 1?
Perfectly, actually.
Okay, perfectly.
Well, he's gonna get the controller, and it's gonna be his mom. And
at the end of the
to be fair, there's a Godzilla that has the exact color in a Vega one out now too. So,
and at the end of the day, it was the only thing left alive on the planet, so it turned out pretty good.
Super well.
So, Wooly's blankets, shoes, what
teeth,
else?
Teeth,
hat, hair, and controller. Soon we'll survive the end of the third impact.
Yeah, there you go.
My pubes as well. We've got a look at Forza Horizon 3, and I got nothing to say.
I got nothing
to say. We got a look at Gears of War campaign for part 4.
Gears of Boar.
There's Chloe.
It's not for me, man.
I wasn't particularly.
But it's the same thing as, like, I played through Uncharted. But I could get you not being interested in Uncharted, so this is for you guys who like Gears of War.
I was surprised by the fact that the setting looked so different in that demo. But it was in the middle of a storm, I guess.
Yeah.
Unclear. Like I saw a lot of things that I'm like, is that magic? Yeah. You know, like, I'm not sure.
Because, like, I finished...
The lightning coming
down. I finished the first three Gears games and never touched Judgment. I just looked at this again. I'm like, yeah, it's... It's Gears.
Are you back in?
But here's the thing. We'll talk about this in a bit, but Sony had a very similar game where it's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, so
we'll talk about that later.
So they ended the Gears thing with old Marcus Fenix.
That was pretty cool.
That was
pretty cool. I like that.
He should have been in Killer Instinct.
Looking more buff and hotter than any old man should.
They should have put him in KI right then and there.
Should have put him in KI.
But instead.
Yeah, the next announcement after that was... Killer Instinct producer Microsoft gets 8 seconds to go, yeah, we have Killer Instinct. Oh, shit. Okay, run the trailer. Then they show a really brief trailer of the oh-so-memorable character of General Ram just stabbing Jago, and that's it.
Captain Grab and Stab.
Now, and he came out, and you played with him, and what you played against Jago, and what happened?
Well, I booted once I got home after the conferences last night. General Ram, really cool that he's out literally now ahead of... Like, usually, when everyone has a DLC fighter, midnight on the 31st of that month, every fucking fighting game. So, him being released kind of early, like, that's cool. And you basically get him for free if you got the combo packs and all that. And I started playing him, and I'm like, wow, this is a super basic character who definitely feels like a random monster. Because when he comes into the stage, he goes, serve the queen. And kind of growls and doesn't really say anything. Unlike Gargos, who he just got, who like goes salty and has all these taunts and shit, has a personality, and you're just stuck with General Ram, and he's not, I need to play around with him. He didn't mess with his instinct mode, but like his special moves is just, it's really basic. And
I'm gonna wait for the Keats breakdown to see
what I'm missing. Maybe I'm missing something.
There's definitely a feeling that you get sometimes from certain games. Like, I remember first time I touched Flash and Injustice, I was like, what are you trying to do here? This is weird and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And then after getting a full breakdown, I was like, oh my god, okay, there's stuff.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, I'd rather him be weird. Cause right now he's very basic.
Mm.
Like, to me, maybe I'm missing something, but like, right now I'm like, yeah, this is a character that they had to get out quickly because Killer Instinct is used more as a marketing tool by Microsoft right now. And, you know,
at least they're using it.
At least they're using it. I would have loved if they got like 2 minutes to talk about Shadow Lords mode, a huge single player mode we still know nothing about.
Oh, is it confirmed single player?
Yep.
Oh, sick.
There's crafting.
It's gonna use your shadows for sure.
Damn.
And there's story and lore.
Damn, okay.
But we didn't get to learn about it for whatever reason.
Xbox Live gets Miiverse.
Yep.
You can make little communities now.
We took a look at ReCore, and you got some air dashes and little buddy monsters.
At ReCore was way too brief. I'd rather them take
so Winston 5 Cross
minutes.
Bastion.
So they
is one
they,
of your buddies.
A little bit.
They
little
confirmed
bit.
The price tag on this is $40, so it's not like a it never looked like it, but yeah, it's not a big, huge AAA thing from them.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
But it looks, for $40, it looks quite good.
I was interested in it.
I'm really keen. It's like a third-person shooter with 3D platforming. Sure. I'll take it.
We took another look and still know absolutely nothing about Inside.
Yeah.
That trailer was the trailer of the show. Fuck Kojima's thing.
Okay.
Just showing two scenes.
Matt, you have to go back to the reveal of it and watch yourself.
There was way more.
Like, there really wasn't, and it there just was. Cut to the word Inside, and we freaked out in the exact same way.
There was less in this trailer. There was less in this trailer.
And then the worst fucking thing.
And it's the silent cut to the title is like a really awkward, perfect cut.
Yeah.
But,
coming out soon, June
29th.
Yeah.
On Xbox One, and like later on in July.
Yeah.
For the PC, I believe.
We
fucking awesome. I can't wait to play that game.
We got to watch the botch that was the Final Fantasy 15.
Matt Kishimoto being fucking balls on
the
stream.
The guy
literally
playing it just. And I think it's I mentioned it during the stream, but like it's been documented that like during E3 sometimes they have to use the convention center's monitors and the way lag. The setups are, they have like crazy lag and stuff. So
that's why you have a reversal
like,
slow.
Yeah, but fuck's sake, like it's really gutsy showing a live demo. It's really gutsy.
Do you remember years ago when if you weren't doing a live demo, it was like seen as like a bad thing?
Yeah.
And I remember being on that side of people being like, oh, come on, show me that the game is real. I don't want to see no pre-rendered garbage.
Yeah.
Right? And then the difference, I guess, between like you're faking this footage because it's just playing out versus this is still gameplay, but it's just been recorded in advance.
Yeah.
Was something that like I think is what we need now because yeah, I can see the flaws in the way I was thinking before. You know, like
yeah.
I think there's too much room for error.
Well, when this happens, it just wasn't a good showing. And like, you know, they showed what happens when it goes right. You know, they clearly used some like debug tool to save their ass, right?
But yeah, because like, he suddenly won.
Yeah. But, yeah, just a bummer for them.
I mean, that boss looked fucking awesome, but it's just, like, it's tough to get a handle on a game when you see it not being played correctly. Believe me, I know. I play many games incorrectly.
So, wasn't at the Microsoft conference, but earlier today during the active time report for Final Fantasy XV, the producer and co confirmed a new battle mode for the game called Wait Mode that you can turn on in the options. And basically, it gives you this big blue bar on the bottom of the screen, and you have that amount of time to pick your moves while time flows in really slow motion. So almost like an ATB kind of thing.
Okay.
If you want
that's neat.
I haven't actually seen the footage of it, so maybe it's not quite like that, but that's my understanding of the description.
It's kind of like what I thought the FF7 trailer was gonna, or the mock-up trailer was gonna
that
be.
That didn't show up at all
nothing,
anywhere.
Nothing to show. Nope. Nothing to show. Yeah.
Completely forgot about
we
it.
Got to see Gwent.
That's
Witcher 3 card
check
game.
Check that off. That's,
oh, right.
Card, digital card game. We did it.
Yeah.
It's cool that the cards had little animations on them. Those
were
fun.
They're elaborate animations for sure.
Burp.
Can't say anything less about it.
Interesting new trailer for We Happy Few. Which.
That was a big gameplay thing.
Yeah.
It was live gameplay.
That was cool.
Made an impression.
Well, yeah, I know. It's kind of weird because I'm like, I feel like I've spoken about this like maybe four or five times now.
I think
you're
the only one.
And,
like, in the
and
gaming
like, Pat
community.
Was like, what game is this? And I'm just like, wow, we don't listen to each other.
Cause he doesn't
all.
Bother coming to either PAX East, which it's been at. So.
I guess. But, yeah, nice to see where that's going from where I've played it and what I've touched. That made a big impression, it seems. Sea of Thieves, maybe not so much.
Seems like it's a big, like, open world.
Cool.
Shared open world thing like The Division and Destiny and stuff, but
it looked like a fun cartoony Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah, I don't know if it's for me though. Like,
yeah, I didn't feel it.
Yeah,
I love sailing.
I'll give it a shot. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, I love sailing fucking pirate adventures, but you know,
but fuck that one.
Maybe
Matt, I buy like 40 games a month.
You can buy more.
You can't do this.
I can't.
When I'm the guy who buys all the Japanese games and you're like, what game? Oh, is this the game about the lesbians? Yeah.
Well, it most likely usually is.
Halo Wars 2 coming February 2017.
Sure.
It looks good, but again, I don't know if it's for me.
Creative Assembly is pretty cool.
They're great, those guys.
They're doing a lot of good stuff.
I was about to purchase that on the day that I got my Expo, and I was looking at the store and there was very few games on the store. And I was hovering over it, and I was like, let me watch.
Oh, the you don't want that one.
And I was watching, and I was looking at it, and I was like, oh wait, I can actually watch other people's gameplay now because they upload that shit.
Let's plays.
Let me go watch some other people's video. Wow.
The one on Xbox One. do you know about that game?
No.
So it's not the first game. It was made for Windows tablets. It's a Windows tablets game. And it got ported to Xbox One after the fact.
That might explain it.
No, it's not a very good game, that one.
Looked poor.
Yeah.
State of Decay 2. That was surprising.
Yes, the first game is fucking great, so. If you want a zombie game.
Then there's no shortage of them.
There's no shortage, but this first game was really good, so. Mm-hmm.
We saw, like, a ton of new controller types over the course of this thing. The Gears controller, the colored controllers. And
the
so
Gears
on
one
stuff.
Was cool because it had the fucking weapons the on weapon the D-pad plate. Loadout.
Yeah. That's so kitsch, but I like it.
And last but not least, Hideki himself came out and banned the entire crowd.
Yep. Banned already.
What was his quote? He's like, now you can finally see my dreams. It was something along those lines.
And Scalebound, man.
You know, the bit of the demo they showed off fighting that giant enemy crab, it wasn't the most thrilling demo, and I don't know if
I kind of liked the one the showing last year a bit better.
Yeah,
this
and like
one wasn't
I definitely think it's
a set piece boss fight.
Yeah, and I think the structure of the game is pretty clear. You go out and you do side quests and you fight little enemies, and eventually you get to big bosses like mm-hmm. this. And the build up makes the boss feel significant, but like
so just out of context
when
the
we're
boss
watching,
fight.
Yeah, when we're watching the footage and you're seeing stuff like he's shooting ineffective arrows at it, you're like, what are you? It doesn't really play off so well.
Yeah.
And I'm not defending it. It wasn't the best demo. I'm excited for the game.
Unlike Final Fantasy 15, it worked.
It did.
The guy playing it fucking nailed it. JP,
yeah, I was
looking
gonna say, you
fucking
could,
good.
You can just go like straight up shout at JP about that one, but he probably doesn't care because he's looking fresh.
But I agree that like just jumping right into the middle of, well, middle, but a boss
that
fight
boss
with no real
thrilling.
Lead up was not the best idea, yeah. I guess.
I'm glad that we saw more Scalebound though, and I really think it's cool that final shot where they're all jumping up is like,
yeah,
I'm like,
cool.
You can do this in a lot of places.
Well, they
in
probably
the game.
Do it in like every major boss fight or
one
something like
big
that.
Final slash with other players optional in your camera shot. Super cool. Then we had Ubisoft.
Yes.
I believe. Ubisoft. They started off with. We peeped in on Just Dance, and then
turned right around.
Fuck out. Timing was beautiful.
Everyone's yelling at us, said, Ubisoft, the stream is starting. We go, and we see a bunch of jackasses and clowns dancing around for Just Dance 27,000.
Back to the boring PC conference.
Yep.
South Park, Stick of Truth.
That was
free with the fractured butthole.
If you pre-order. That was probably the most offensive thing I've ever seen on stage at E3. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Coon. Get into the coon jail.
And the stuff that Matt and Trey were saying. Like,
just generally,
Fuck you, Kanye.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I loved it.
Our gay fish that hates fish sticks, or that loves fish sticks, is trying to get his mom to heaven. It's like, Oh my God.
And like all that fucking that cutscene of South Park where they're talking about all the phases of the movies was like,
that's the reason for the name.
I'll coincide that this could be funny, but come on, like this is a little out. No, this is actually really funny.
It's pretty good.
And like the gameplay wise, like some real interesting steps there.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to move around, like, combo guys into other people in your party, and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the shift to a more tactical battle style.
It's interesting, yeah.
It suits the visual style of South Park better.
Because you can... There's only a couple of planes of existence.
Of existence that things can stand
on. South Park,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of, like, dig the, you know, obviously a superhero aesthetic a bit more than just generic fantasy stuff, so...
I legitimately want to go pre-order it now because I never played through Stick of Truth.
I gave up. I started and gave up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got about 2 hours in, maybe, and I was like, yeah, it's funny, but I just never felt the drive to get back to it.
That's fair.
Yeah. We got to take a look at the Wildlands.
No, we didn't. We looked at other stuff.
We have it muted most?
We had it
muted. You remember the bit where we're looking at the PC conference and some guy's talking? It might have been Warren Spector at the time. And then we look at the wildlands, and there's just a guy looking out of a helicopter.
It was the Scream Lord. It was the Scream Lord that was just staring.
Yeah, day nine. Yeah.
We did have we had the audio on though because we were getting weirded out by the actors.
Now,
okay, so
I know. Sorry, I know most people probably know this, but I didn't know this. But I was going like, no, guys. This is actually the NPCs talking in Wildlands, and you corrected me. Mm-hmm.
It's totally random people they hire to pretend they're playing online and whispering to each other.
But they're talking close to how NPCs would talk?
As if they were the NPCs
themselves.
Well, they're recreating the ideal experience. Yes.
And not the actual experience.
Stop it.
Mom, I can't pause
now.
Hang
on, I got a package at the door.
Oh.
How am I going to enjoy this Nintendo game if I don't see the family showing me how to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I will concede that the chase at the end looked really cool.
Yeah, the motorcycle chase at the end of Wildlands, sure.
Yeah, when all the vehicles were going, it looked really good. But
other than that, I have no interest.
I'm absolutely not going to play
any Tom Clancy game.
Watch 6 months from now, I'm going to have a copy. But yeah, I mean, I hope not.
Like, I don't write off Tom Clancy, but it's just one by one, this doesn't seem to be it. Siege gets a lot of
play.
Dad
with dads usually,
and the Division as well. But so the Division is getting a survival mode. On that note,
that I'm keen to see what that is because I do own the Division, and I might be interested if it's a more single player focused thing. But I doubt it. I don't know. I want more info on what it is.
Star Trek Bridge Crew. In which we watched a bunch of actors play a game with really bad graphics, but the concept of the game is cool.
Yeah.
I just think me and Pat kind of marked out.
Just watching actors show up and I'm like, you're falling for it.
No, shut up though. It's cool.
Look,
Reading Rainbow and fucking Seven of Nine and fucking Judge Dredd are telling me how cool Star Trek is.
This game needs way more time in the oven.
It's probably coming out in 2 months.
Didn't they say it was a launch title for
PSVR?
I believe so.
Maybe.
Or something.
But, I mean, it is a VR game, so it is a lot more taxing. They have to render everything twice and stuff, so. But it looks a little, I don't know. It is gonna be in first person, and it felt to me like they were like avoiding showing first person shots.
It was all
whenever you saw them, they were very quick. Yeah, but that's the actual perspective. You don't actually look at the four characters.
Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. Everyone has their own view.
Yeah. I think it'll probably look more like they intend from that perspective, but I wish they would have showed more of that.
It's just to me, especially in a game where you're probably only going to be looking at the bridge.
And whatever's outside the ship.
It was called Bridge something.
Bridge Crew.
Bridge Crew. Yeah, you're probably only on the bridge.
Why does it look that poor if you've got one room to make it?
That's why I
want to
see more of like what the view looks like as opposed to the front-on shot that looks awful.
You should be able to go to your quarters.
But I agree. Like they could.
You should be able to go to your quarters.
I hope they can tighten up the graphics on level
and
3.
Sick bay. Those are the only other places you should be able to go. It's the only like the major like spots in the
holodeck.
Holodeck too. Yeah, that'd be good. And I really want each like let's say this is like a 3-hour game and there's like 30-minute chunks each time and there should be an episode title and I want it to say Sex Monsters on one of the episode titles and then the Sex Monster episode can start.
Nice.
I love that episode. It's when they turn into sex monsters.
We got Feral Adventures in which you can enjoy your watchdogs.
Your watchdoggos.
Watch Puppers 2.
Yeah.
Hack everything.
I think a lot of
GTA.
Us said this is like, man, I really wish this was Watch Dogs 1.
Yes.
Because it looks way more interesting than Watch Dogs 1.
Yes. If that was the reveal of Watch Dogs 1, I think so as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely heard loud and clear, not just from us, but from quite a few people that guns, please, no.
In all our research, we found that black people love swinging around billiard balls on wires.
Second most popular weapon in the
for black people.
Clacker volleys are the weapon of choice.
Just send a little Haman.
Of the Joe Stars and black people. This is statistically proven.
It's a weird thing. Or some Ubisoft guys telling you in the documentary, he's like, so we researched many illegal weapons on YouTube, and it really turns out the urban youth love whacking people in the head with billiard balls.
You haven't seen that Worldstar Hip Hop video where he shoots it out against cars in the battle and wraps the chariot? No, anyway. We got the fact that there's a Watch Dogs movie happening.
Which everyone demanded.
and Sony's involved.
I think I could enjoy this more than the games, depending on... I mean, if the character's interesting and they do it well, yeah, it's a movie, you know.
Don't wait to see how Assassin's Creed does. Just get on the next one.
Yeah, it's don't
not,
wait.
It's not about how well it does. It's going to sell. The brand's big enough, you know.
Or most...
Yeah,
that,
but
like,
whether or not the movie's shit.
Yeah, well...
To change your approach, you know? Because, like, Marvel had to wait for things to, like, settle before they were like, okay, how do we make our movies good? And they should have probably done that with this, but oh well. Meh. For Honor, Valentine's Day 2017.
Fucking awesome demo.
Looks sick.
Really good
really
demo.
More impressed with it than last year.
Smartly choosing to focus on the other two sides.
Yeah, really unhappy that they killed all those Japanese people. I wanted to see those people.
Next year.
But all Next we saw year. Were knights. Yeah. Prior delayed. To this, so now we got to take a look at the Viking guy killing a bunch of samurai.
We also got to see why this is even happening. It's because there's some battle lord agrees that the world continents must crack and shudder against each other, and everyone must fight. They must battle forever.
Let them fight.
Yeah. It should be called Battle Forever.
It should be called. For Honor is like...
Just take it.
No one's using it.
Just take it.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really happy with that demo. Like, that made me get more excited for the game and everything. So, mission accomplished.
We took a look at Eagle Flight.
Yep.
And that is a very weird game that was derived from a demo that was way more serious and different.
I don't know if it was serious, but it was starker. Wasn't as colorful, that's for sure.
But they went kind of wacky on it. And I'm like, the whole time I'm like, please show us the gameplay. Like, with their VR heads moving all over the place like weirdos.
They almost hit each other several times.
And then they showed it, and I'm like, that looks as dumb as I hoped.
Yeah.
Sure. That's a thing that'll be coming. Feels like there's not going to be much to it. Feels like it's just going to be, like, a launch demo, you know, of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it really... That's the sentiment I get, is not that it got less serious, but that, like, their division wasn't coming together a lot, and that's why it changed so much.
Just make it into like a sports
to find
ball
the game
thing.
Out of this.
Well, it went from like nothing,
a screensaver,
just flying around
to aerial
to that.
Aerial
like this
football.
Is what it looked like the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
See, it's still got the foliage and stuff. Just like the
but
time of day,
movie
does
lighting
a lot.
And stuff.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know. Hope it's good. Oh yeah, here's a really good comparison. So it was like orange, and then it. This is the daytime
became,
shot we got.
Yeah, it became Pixar a little bit.
Changed a little bit, but...
We got Trials of the Blood Dragon, which is pretty cool in concept, though I didn't realize how many Trials games came out in between.
There's one you missed.
So you guys were going on about those, and I'm like, I played Trials 2, and then the one that came out on Xbox One.
There's four.
And then I tapped out again, and then I came
Did
back.
Did you play
and now,
Moto Heroes?
See, no.
That's
none
the
of that.
Secret one, too.
Yeah, there's a
and
secret
I,
one.
And I also looked at all the cool creative character maps and stuff, career custom maps that people made with FPS shit going on and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to me, it's fresh because I just jumped in and jumped out at my leisure. But Trials of the Blood Dragon is a fun idea, and
yeah,
I'm glad that it's out right now.
I played it a bit this morning, and it's Trials.
I heard,
again.
I heard it's a lot shorter, so if anyone
that's
thinks,
not bad. That's not
that's
a bad
not,
thing.
Because beating 100-plus levels is not
has,
something.
Has the music and filters and all that stuff. The trailer stuff looks
not much
fun.
Really in filters, but the music is Blood Dragon music, which is good. But, you know, most people should know I'm a huge fan of Blood Dragon, so I'm kind of sad to see it just relegated as window dressing on a completely different game. Now, where I played up to is just, I played three levels. They're all just trials with absolutely no gameplay changes at all, which to me is super disappointing up until that level. But I remember in the trailer that we saw,
there was a guy
with a gun and doing stuff. I'm like, okay, so maybe that comes later. And there did seem to be some fun story stuff. And they did get Michael Biehn to re-record. I think it sounds really like him, but it could also be a sound-alike. Because to get him just to do a few random things on a much, much shorter game, it seemed fun, but I'm just kind of a little disappointed that it's just a universe I like so much is just kind of
relegated
an aesthetic
that,
on another genre.
I
really wish like Blood Dragon would come back in a grander way, but
I really dig that it's Vietnam War 4.
It's Vietnam War 4.
It's like, what, 16 years after the last one, which was Vietnam War 2.
Yeah, yeah.
So
after the Quebec Wars.
After the Quebec Wars. years.
In the future of 2019.
Oh, I really need to go back to that game.
You need to learn more about the Quebec Wars.
I want
Wars.
Them to re-release that on PS4 so I can play through it.
I would absolutely agree with you. Just like, you know, a little up-resing, whatever.
We got a sequel to Grow Home, which is called Grow Up.
I gotta say, looking at the trailer for it, you could have showed me Grow Home footage and I wouldn't have been able to tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looked like there was the mushroom mechanic that lets you bounce on the mushrooms. Those hadn't been in the trailer, I would not be able to tell you 100% for sure if that was the first or second game.
Considering how short Grow Home is, like, I'm like, yeah, I'll play that more.
Yeah, I hope it's not much longer than that, because I think it could really overstay its welcome if it's, like, significantly longer than it was.
And last, we've got Steep, a.k.a. Omnisport.
Yeah. A demo that I think they showed off way, way too long.
It's really neat. Nobody's making this kind of game on this kind of level. Maybe there's a market for it. I just don't know. I don't think it's... If it had VR support, I'd at least be really interested because I'm really excited for VR, but... The absence of that, I just don't find myself super compelled by it.
I made a few helpful suggestions, like there should be bears, or you should be able to eat other
players. Or
the thing from Ski Free, or the thing from The Thing.
That would
be a waste.
And you have to test all the skiers' bloods and stuff.
Yes, these are all Ubisoft.
If this was just a Thing game in disguise...
Pack of roving wolverines at your feet as you parachute down.
Chomping, licking their lips, slavering.
Shoot swarms of bats at the other skiers.
Yeah.
To stun them.
There is death, however. We did see that.
I did like how the characters yelled before they went.
No, you guys had that great bit about bodies and piles.
Yeah, they should just call the game Body Pile.
Kill Pile.
It was Kill Pile.
Time your character dies, the ragdoll stays exactly where it is, and then you reload, but your old ragdoll's still there.
Yeah, and they all interact with each other.
And then you can do tricks off the pile on your snowboard.
The mountain is just called Kill Pile. And the game's called Kill Pile, and it's about the Kill Pile.
It's like every time Dark Souls and someone dies, instead of dropping a bloodstain, you drop a Kill Pile.
Yeah, I guess we can also mention here is that Ubisoft confirmed Beyond Good and Evil 2 is in the works, but
still in the works. Yeah, I still subscribe to the rumor that it's for NX, but
I hope you're right.
Because
it does. It
strikes me as the kind of game that needs saving, but
think about. How many consoles BGE1 was on, and that's everything ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, but remember, I don't know.
Remember at first,
but
Rayman did, for a time, get an exclusive Wii U game before Ubisoft, like, basically
it did.
Backed down super hard.
For the right.
And, like, kind of screwed anyone that was anticipating it for the Wii U.
Yeah, but I mean, Ubisoft was, like, the number one publisher of games on the Wii U outside of Nintendo. They published like 30 games on the Wii U.
They actually
tried the hardest of any company, and they gave it a AAA exclusive at launch.
When I think of early examples of
when
I think of early examples of multi-platform games, like BGE is the first one that I can think of that was like you had a PC release super early in your PC like market.
They gave it away with cheese in Canada. I don't know if you remember that. You could get it with cheese strings. You got a free disc for Beyond Good and Evil. French version only.
En tout cas.
Yeah.
We had the Sony conference next.
Not really much to talk about there.
Actually, we had the PC conference.
I was
going to
say PC conference.
The only thing of worth that I can really remember was one cop who you might say was giant.
He was a little bit larger than life.
That's the only thing I remember.
Giant Cop. The VR game that looks like the best VR game we've seen yet.
Who do you play as?
Giant Cop.
You are a giant.
What is your job?
Mustache and hat with two hands.
You're a large flat foot.
What is your job?
You're a cop. What is your size?
Giant.
There you go.
Yeah.
Video game.
Do it.
So you go around doing crime investigations, but you're fucking huge.
You have like a tiny like magnifying glass.
That guy is stealing my thing, and you just grab him and throw him into the horizon.
Yeah.
And that's the crime solved.
I looked into it because I was curious, and the game was originally designed for HTC Vive, so with the room scale and the moving around and shit. But at some point recently, they patched it on Steam because it's an early access, and they removed the Vive support. and added Oculus support because Oculus is like paying them for exclusivity temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually like removed support from a game that people bought.
Wow.
But
good move.
It supports Oculus, so hope it comes.
That's really scummy, actually.
It's a little gross.
That's really gross.
When I looked it up, I was like, wait, that's actually not cool. I still want to play it, but that's actually kind of not cool.
Ugh.
I hope it comes to PSVR because I'm not buying a new PC.
Sense of humor pretty good on the trailer.
Overall. Yeah,
it was really funny.
I had a chuckle.
Sensible chuckle.
Oof, all right. Sony, just back-to-back fucking gate, like, just... Okay.
Garbage.
Can we talk about the presentation?
We had curtains. We had an orchestra. We had lights.
You had a subtle stage that looked like nothing and then revealed itself to be this, like, sick angular thing.
Yeah,
there was
an
elaborate walkway that was only used once.
Yeah.
But it was used at the right time.
For one man.
They didn't reuse any gimmicks. It was super cool.
All right, so we opened cold on what was revealed to be, unfortunately, God of War.
All music for the whole conference played live by an orchestra, by the way, which is
I would have loved
nuts.
To have been there live because it would have made much more of an impression when you're in there and the acoustics and everything, but you could still hear it come through.
So yeah, open on God of War.
God of War. Really interesting reboot.
So this is what I was alluding to before in regards to Gears of War, which was Gears of War, the fifth time now, the same basic game, and your God of War 8, would you say?
8.
We heard the leak that it was going to be Norse before
Norse
this.
And low, yeah.
But the complete shift in gameplay style to just third-person action, but not at all the character action sort of vibes we used to get.
So it's the same character, by the way. It's not a full reboot. They're just changing the gameplay style.
Yes.
Sorry, and she said reboot, so I was like, same Kratos,
You found out a bit more.
No, it's not the same Kratos. It's an interesting character this time.
You found out a bit more about it, and it seems like they're doing the Batman v Superman bit, or the new thing you can do in movies now, where if your thing comes out and it's bad, the sequel can come out and, like, criticize the things about the first movie as its plot point.
Yeah. So this is about, like, what if Kratos made a fucking good decision?
Because
that's all he did was bad decisions
and
before.
They straight up said
the director said that. Yeah,
he made bad decisions in 1 to 3.
Yeah, it was really neat to see him say that. Not just 1 to 3, but
all
6 of the main
other
ones.
Right, yeah. The other 3 7, prequels.
Right,
8, 20.
The sextology, and of course that was we see a little boy, and that's actually Kratos' son.
Yes, yep. That's confirmed. Actually Kratos' son, yeah.
All right.
And the game happens to be, like, fucking super-duper gorgeous.
Yeah, that too.
Naughty like, Dog should be ashamed.
Like, yeah, that they've...
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Is that how you say that?
Slow walking through a forest as Kratos, looking at foliage...
With the camera
behind
your back.
Is not at all what God of War was and whatnot. So that was a very interesting reveal because no one sitting there thought that that's what that game was.
No, it looked like Horizon to us initially, the first little shots on the boy.
It was just the boy at first, and then he goes into a hut and like Kratos is there. We're like, oh!
Then we got
very
to take
similar to the Marcus Fenix thing.
Old
man steps out of the shadows.
Just in reverse.
But then it turns, but then the actual game was just all Gears of War.
Yeah.
Destructible environments. And then similar thing for the next trailer they showed, which was, is this PT? No, it's After Kitchen. And this first-person horror type thing turned out to be Resident Evil 7 Biohazard.
So while this was happening, while it was going on, I was raising my hand going, this is probably Resident Evil 7. I kept saying to myself, this is probably Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
And then my hands lowered. Now, because it said PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
It's not a Resident Evil 7, but I was like, then it raised up again.
No, I didn't, I wasn't thinking that at all, but then as soon as you said, kitchen.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know about the kitchen demo.
Yeah.
So as soon as you put it together, like, After Kitchen is what Capcom's, VR tech was. It's like, okay,
during the thing, like, the gears were turning because we know a bit and, like, figuring that out midway was like, oh man, they're fucking
doing it.
Yeah.
So known as Biohazard 7 Resident Evil in Japan, which is so really fucking good.
I don't know if that's cool, but I think it's cool.
I think it's fantastic.
It makes no sense. Why even do it?
That is what we, that's a complete bold new change. And to be honest, like the fact that we're not like, okay, how do I put this? PT made such an impact to so many people.
Yeah.
And then it's not happening. And I feel like that ripple did so many things in so many different directions. And it's not to say that this is not what they were already doing at that time.
Yeah.
But the impression we have now after seeing what PT was like, it's like, okay, we know how terrifying that was. A full RE reboot that is like this, or sequel, or I should say, that goes this way is like, there's no one's gonna go, oh fuck, I can't shoot the gun anymore.
Yeah, for me, I definitely think like the influence comes more from just where horror games are now, which is like it's first person horror that's been horror for what, like 7 years now?
That's interesting, cause like I set the game to download, cause like you said, same. PT, it's very similar, like demo out right now, although PT had that mystery about it.
Bunch
for a
of cockroaches.
While.
God,
they could have pulled the same twist.
That's actually how cool would that have,
but we still would have thought it was cool. Like,
just call it After Kitchen by Moby Dick Studios.
Yeah. You say it's a lot like horror and it is. And like, I just saw one bit of impression of someone that played the demo. Like, if you like Outlast, get ready for the exact same game.
Yeah.
On this one bit of demo. That's only like an hour long.
So they also confirmed.
It's called First Hour.
Yeah. They also confirmed, even though it's called First Hour, this just means it's your first hour with it. This content is not in the game.
Ah.
Apparently, this content is just not in the game at all. So
it's like a prologue sort of thing that might not even be in
the game. They dusted up the kitchen thing and turned it into something more.
So I never actually played Kitchen, but I saw some cam footage of it, and it looked like the same environment just expanded upon a little bit. Yeah. So I do think that they were probably testing the waters with Kitchen.
Posting about it, right?
No, you were allowed to post about it. They weren't hiding it, but they also didn't put any footage out officially. I don't think there's any direct... I might be wrong. I don't think they ever released direct feed of it.
Okay.
So, like, they weren't actively, like, come check out our kitchen thing, but...
But they were, like, basically shooting you if you got too close.
Maybe.
If you got too close. One thing I'll say is that it does remind me of the dusty, sort of, like, stuck-in-a-house look of the Hookman demo of RE4. That was very slow, plodding, more supernatural, sort of scary spooks happening, like, and not the action thing that RE4, you know, turned into. And like, I'm sick of the action RE4 now. Like, there's like the last four games, even more if you consider other stuff. So I'm really like excited to just check it out. And like, even if it is like Outlast, like, that's kind of Resident Evil used to set trends, not follow them, but it could still, like, I really hope it's good. Like, I really hope it makes me have hope for RE.
It would have been weird to be like, to have a thing where it's like, your people were looking at this and Silent Hills both coming out, you know, like.
Yeah.
Well, Silent Hills wasn't going to be first person because, like, it was going to be third person with Norman Reedus and stuff, but.
Yeah, I think so by the end of it.
Well, you're not going to have first person with Norman Reedus's face in it. If he's the main character.
Cutscenes, no?
Cutscenes, maybe.
I mean. Well,
The
demo was.
I heard something about it being third person.
The demo was,
so
I just thought that would happen. But
to hide it. Yeah.
But on that note, it doesn't fucking matter because the Red Sea parted.
Well, hang on. I want to say something about RE7 if that's okay.
Okay.
I'm really happy that it's in full VR. That's like that is a killer app. I mean, it's an optional support, but people will still buy in for that, and I think that's really cool because it was like. Unfortunately, Rift and Oculus didn't have the best launches, and it was really kind of on Sony to, like, push VR a little bit this E3, and I was really glad that they had some titles like this that really seemed like they're gonna push it, so. But also, like, I'm really excited to play it. I haven't played it yet, because we're gonna do a video, confirmed. But I'm a bit... I mean, I'm very excited. I love Resident Evil, but I'm a little skeptical of the notion of them saying they're gonna return to the series roots. And, you know, what we're going to...
That's the right move, or that they might not actually do that?
No, I'm skeptical because according to people who have played it, there's, like, pretty much no combat in the demo, and there's, like, no puzzles in the demo. You're just kind of walking around looking at stuff. And that's not what Resident Evil ever was.
Well, but like you said that it's not even, this isn't even
no,
part
exactly.
of the game.
It's not part of the game, but I do hope that in the main game, they're able to incorporate those two elements.
Yeah.
Because that really, to me, is it going back to its roots. Not that I'd be averse to Resident Evil 7 being different and being just this style of game, but it's really neither its roots nor where it ended up.
I guess it's like, it is like PT in that way, where PT, you actually didn't do anything.
You just look around and try to figure stuff out. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's just too early and we don't really know.
Yeah, it's too early, exactly, until we actually see Biohazard 7 Resident Evil. The logo's nice.
It is.
Bio-Evil Resident Hazard.
Yeah.
Like the VIL make up the Roman numerals for 7, but in the Biohazard logo, the Z turns into the 7.
So pretty cool. Good. It's like the Baskin-Robbins logo.
Smart. Anyway, the resurrection, like Gil, of Kojima as he walked down the stage. And
his glowing white stage.
I thought for sure it wasn't going to be Kojima. I was like, nah, he doesn't. The game's not even close to being in a state where you can even say anything about it. It's got to be Yu Suzuki.
And like a fucking orchestra plays him on with his Ludens logo in the background. And then he fucking introduces Death Stranding, where we see Norman Reedus, Norman Fetus, and five big badass motherfuckers.
I think.
Floating in
whatever
the sky.
Whatever those are.
That's such a strong
setting the tone.
Yeah. What a strong fucking visual of like just everyone talking. But like when I got up this morning, it's Death Stranding trending.
Yeah.
500,000 people talking about it.
And if you rewatch it, you see on the beach that he's looking out at.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of like, a washed up, like corpse looking things of like animal corpses.
It's fishes and whales Possum. And such, yeah.
And they all have the similar weird digital umbilical cord hooked up.
The strands.
The strands.
No, I noticed that when I was watching it. I was like, huh, that's really interesting that they all
it
have
really
those.
It really does remind me of all the crazy bullshit at the start of Phantom Pain with
to
the
try
whales
it,
and
exactly.
all that
totally.
To intrigue you.
I paused it and I looked it up, but like, you know his dog tag things?
Yep, they have mathematical symbols on them.
Yeah, I was... So
everything
I was,
has to have
I paused it because I wanted to look at it because I was like, there must be something.
There's equations
and
there.
And it took me a while to find one because I don't know how to fucking type that shit.
Yeah.
Cause, like, I don't know how to type those characters, so it took me a goddamn while, but it seems like it points back to, like, black hole theories and stuff like that, so black hole shit, maybe.
So he's just doing the thing that he's done a couple times in the past, where your first look at one of his games is just nothing but, like, hinting at themes and, like, indirect references to where the actual thing
maybe.
Is going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I get that impression from
nice,
it.
Nice demo, though. He confirmed...
Norman Reedus might not even be in the final product. Like, we
I
don't
really hope
fucking
he is.
Know.
I'm really happy Norman Reedus is in it, because that must have been just crushing to lose PT like that.
For sure.
So, like, kudos to both of them for managing to stick it
the
out
the only
like
thing
that.
Better would have been Del Toro somewhere on those credits as well.
I'm sure he's not absent unwillingly, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he didn't get forced out, just it didn't work.
No. Like you said, like, you know.
Yeah, I will follow this man
to the end
of the earth. My greasy little heart.
Kojima confirmed to his friend Jeff Keighley that it was running in one of the candidate engines. They still haven't picked an engine yet, and it was just running in one of the candidates for the time being.
So this motherfucker has options.
Yeah. It's fucking clear now that from, like, second one, he had, like, a huge multi-million-dollar budget, because when you look at the art, the art quality already eclipses MGS5, like, instant.
And like I was saying, it's like, look, Kojima's sitting at the bar, and he's about to order a drink, and then a bunch of companies line up.
I'll pay for your drink.
You know, like, what are you having? What are you, and then, yeah, like you said, Andrew House just fucking steps in front of the line.
And speaks perfect Japanese.
And then, you know, and takes him over, so, and then woos him. So yeah, man, Death Stranding, cool-ass logo, cool-ass poster. Don't know what the fuck we're getting, but... Yeah.
But what are those five things in the sky?
Ooh.
I want to fight them.
Or run.
Or talk to them.
Or become one.
Or...
I don't know.
I want to know.
I don't know.
That mystery.
It was a really strong
compelling.
Image. It was good stuff.
Yeah,
it was good
stuff. Like, Death Stranding, like, it was just one of the things where, like... I did not expect anything. Never expected Kojima show. Never expected a title.
It felt like it was almost too early to see anything. Yeah. Like, I actually thought if we saw Kojima, it would be like a piece of art or something.
Yeah,
it's going to be a long ass time before we get anything fucking like a release date coming.
Yeah,
so.
Well, Yeah.
Put it out of your head.
Next year, we'll get a video again, and we'll be like, oh, come
there's
on.
There's lots of other stuff to talk about, but unfortunately, I have to get going, because Zach is at the vet. Gotta pick him up.
Okay.
Everything got delayed because of the streams and stuff, but I just want to say, like, since, you know, I missed a bit of it, but just Legend of Zelda, fucking Breath of the Wild, super, super interesting, exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
Exactly what I wanted.
Definitely looks fantastic.
But... I really don't understand why Nintendo couldn't have just had a Zelda-focused Direct with a couple of other announcements. Maybe they thought it would just look bad compared to the other conferences, but the stream, like, it was all right for a while, but then when they ran out of Zelda stuff to talk about, but they kept talking about it.
It felt like from what we watched, there was an hour of content, and then we watched for 4 hours.
Yeah, and then it slowed down to a crawl. But
it's true.
Game had lots of fucking cool shit that we marked out to.
Yes.
The slow motion flips, all
snowboarding.
The weapons. Snowboarding looked
stuff.
Great.
Look good.
Game looked visually really, really nice, and just a really interesting world. Not sure about the absence of towns, though.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
But, so, you gentlemen, I guess we'll soldier on for a little bit more.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Spider-Man without you.
Fuck, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man
looks so fucking hype. And I'm so fucking happy that, like, the mantra here is make a really, really good game.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That was actually something Marvel came out and said, too. So, like, that's fantastic to hear that they have that ideology now.
Oh, I was so happy to actually see it and that it looks gorgeous and Daily Bugle shit and. Really, really happy about that.
It really looks like the treatment Spider-Man deserves.
Yeah.
Not that the Beenox games are terrible, but
They're just forgettable.
They deserve to be better than forgettable.
He's got an action figure costume. Weird new action figure costume now.
Where's my action figure at? Where's my PS4 Spidey action nighttime commando?
Hashtag Spider-Man PS4 is the name of the game.
So you think that should be the final name?
That's the name of
the Hashtag game. Spider-Man PS4?
Yep.
It should be like Spider-Man PS4. Or something, like, get it in there. But I'm sure by the end of the day, it'll have a subtitle.
In 50 years, when you're looking on your Hyper SD card at the PS4 full ISO list, the first games will be hashtag Drive Club and hashtag Spider-Man PS4.
Yeah.
And then 3x3 eyes.
The A in man. The A in man is a 4.
Yeah. Fuck.
There you go.
All right, cool, guys. I'm going to peace out.
Okay.
My Zacklet needs me.
Okay. Save your
Later.
Cat.
Spider-Man Phase 4. Didn't see that shit coming. But, I'm hoping that since this is a brand new, like, Spider-Man experience, hoping that we get to see shit that Spider-Man never got to do in his other games.
Yeah.
That's the main thing I want to do because, like, let's be real, there's definitely been, like, really good swinging in Spider-Man. There's been really good, like, you know, New York, really good boss fights in some of the games and stuff. So we've done a whole lot of that. I want to see what we haven't done. We haven't stuck a camera to a wall and made sure we got the best angle
or
to
maybe,
Pokemon
like, maybe
Snap
once,
for J. Jonah Jameson.
Like, bring it back. Like, Dating Sims, get that in there.
All of it, right?
You know,
Peter Parker for real adventures.
Better than the last one, yeah. Amazing Spider-Man 2 is kind of just disappointing with that. I really hope, I mean... Duh, they're gonna have him. He's the most popular fucking villain. But I really want to see a sick Venom fight in there. Like, he is the most popular Spider-Man
villain,
of course,
I think,
certainly.
Right? And I know, well, I mean, the thing is since they're not following Homecoming and they're not following anything else, this is their own story. Why not? They can do whatever
they want. That guy in there who puts the spots. He puts the black holes that people go through. I saw him in the cartoon when I was little.
I don't remember who you're talking about.
He puts these, like, dimension-warping spots in the air, and they, like, stick like a sticker, and you can go through them and come out other ones.
Like a fucking JoJo Park character?
Like, a little bit, yeah.
Like Bruno?
He puts up these, like, portals.
Okay.
Fucking cool.
Him.
They should bring him back, and Kingpin.
Oh, Kingpin for sure.
Oh, man.
We're going to... I think the right way and the likely thing is Sinister Six because, you know, everyone knows.
That's the ones to go for.
Everyone knows.
And yeah, it's by Insomniac. Could you imagine if Kraven actually hunts you? Like...
On the map?
In real time?
On the fucking world.
Oh, fuck. That would be cool. Are you still here?
No, he's gone.
Shit.
I
gotta call him that.
It's like you have to find the Sinister Six, but one of them is just like... He has to find you.
Yeah.
And you've got to plan a trap to stop him. Then the boss fight starts.
And it's like the Hypogean jail in Bloodborne.
If he gets you.
Like if Kraven gets you.
You get brought to his level.
Oh, fuck.
That could be interesting.
Craven confirmed.
Yo, that's no. free. Insomniac, that's just free.
Fuck, I'm really excited. That's going to be a minute. Didn't have a release date attached to it, so.
Little less excited, but still cool to know that Crash Bandicoot's getting a full remake.
Yeah, I've never been a particular fan. The most Crash Bandicoot I've ever played was in Uncharted 4. yeah, I know. Like one single level twice. I've never really been a fan. I guess I'll try it this time. Just like with Ratchet, you know. I liked Ratchet when it came out again. So.
And he's
a Skylander too.
Yeah, yeah. Although that was weird to me, and I guess I didn't realize, but the lighting in Skylanders is so washed out.
It's a bit weird in this one. It used to be more colorful, I remember, but I don't know. Maybe we're both crazy.
We got the actual date for PSVR is going to be October 13th.
Yeah.
So
we had that before. So that was one of the things I found interesting about the showmanship on display. That was like the only business slide that was ever on the projection, which I find nuts. Cause like at E3, usually it's like, here's this thing, here's this product, here's this price, here's this service. And it was just PSVR October 13th, $299.
And it made a ton of sense because they then went on to show a fuck ton of VR shit.
Yeah.
In fact, I got a tweet that someone sent that has the breakdown of like content that this guy's making graphs for. And like, yeah, they had 25% of their game reveals were VR related.
Yeah, which is
the highest.
Not bad, yeah.
Yeah,
the highest by far, yeah.
So, you know, and then we took a look at the Batman VR game, Batman Arkham VR.
Well, that like CG video, yeah.
Whatever that was. Yeah. There's the X-Wing VR experience.
Yeah. Oh, the interesting thing about Batman, sorry, is that it's out in October. So even though it was only a CG video.
Yeah.
Out these in like aren't 3 months.
Games, these aren't full games. These are clearly just demos slash levels slash, you know, whatever the fuck you call it.
Well, but the X-Men and the X-Wing one. The Batman and the X-Wing
I feel like it's almost like that Portal demo in that way. You know what I mean? Like
the Aperture Labs one.
The Aperture Labs one and so on. It's like these little mini experiences to sort of check out what VR is doing.
Batman and Star Wars are like money shot demos, though, where some people will actually go in big on those, so.
Then they showed off the Lego Star Wars Force Awakens demo, which is out now, apparently.
The demo is, yeah.
That's cool.
It's out at the end of the
month.
That's
Lego Star Wars.
Lego Star Wars.
What do you want? Okay. So we started looking at Infinite Warfare, and we weren't even sure that we were looking at Infinite Warfare.
It was a great, great Infinite Warfare trailer. They didn't open on the title. They had a great demo, and then...
Look, it was just super sci-fi.
Title drop.
And then, yeah. And it's just funny because it kind of makes you look and think, though. It's like, that could have been any other random sci-fi game.
Yeah.
And then you start seeing the quality of, like, how the actual, set piece is playing out with a massive, space battle happening outside.
It looks fantastic. Yeah.
It looks nuts. Yeah. They're doing, of course, the zipline guns, not zipline,
Everyone was tethers.
Everything's tethering.
Everything is tethers.
That's the future of first person.
There was Year of the Bows, Year of the Tethers.
Year of Tethers, man. And it looked cool. I love it.
It looked sick, dude.
I'm super into swinging. Well, I'll take it.
I remember when, Call of Duty became the most disliked thing on YouTube, and I had watched the trailer that morning, like right when it went up before the dislikes came in. I was like, that looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And when the dislikes came in, I was like, okay, I don't really get it, but okay, I guess it's cool to not like Call of Duty now. And then this trailer comes out, and I'm like, yeah, that looks fucking sick. I'm not going to play it, but it looks fucking sick. So
I wonder what they're going to do after this. Now is when my brain completely gives up on, like, recognizing trends.
I hope they do something, like, abstract or just really different.
Like Call of Duty Dadaist Warfare.
Well, so, like, I don't think they can or will because they've still got a ship sell 5 to 7 million units, right? You've still got to fit that narrow definition of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Which is basically you're a soldier fighting for your duty
warfare.
Or something. So, like, future Second Planet warfare, maybe? I don't know.
But
maybe they'll just jump back.
No,
yeah.
But clearly they're going to be scared out of the future with this.
Who knows?
You know?
We'll see what the numbers are like. Because dislikes aren't dollars. So.
No, but you can definitely imagine investors panicking right now, going, "This is not what Call of Duty is supposed to do."
If they're,
Call of Duty is supposed to be a surefire thing, like investing in land.
Yeah. I mean, if they're able gold. To bring in the dollars, we'll see, you know. I don't know.
And if Titanfall, like, is actually as fucking sick yeah. as it looks.
Titanfall's liable to take a chunk out of Call of Duty this year.
I mean, I hope so, because I hope Titanfall continues to be a thing. Yeah. You know, I think Call of Duty is probably going to reexamine itself if it goes the way the pre-orders and hype pre-release yeah. hype is leading it.
Every time I see Titanfall footage and I hear the line, prepare for Titanfall, I always think to myself, I am so lucky to be allowed to have a popular AAA game like that.
With a robot in it.
Like, they do that every trailer. They cut to black and go prepare for Titanfall. And they cut back and it's like, oh, I'm so lucky to be allowed. Because, and that's such a shitty thing to say, because we should just have cool stuff.
No.
But fuck.
That used to be a weird niche thing that was like, you know, oh, you like robots? Okay, cool. Well, you can get them in, I guess, MechWarrior 2015.
Yeah. I guess.
That was a big thing back yeah, then.
You can import Super Robot Wars on the PS2.
Yeah.
For $100.
But you're not gonna.
No.
Even though Jam Project is crying for you to do it.
Yeah.
The Sony conference continued, with an extremely impressive trailer for Detroit Becoming Human.
It looked fucking good, didn't it?
I can't fucking pretend that wasn't a great-ass trailer. And I won't let David Cage fool me again.
But Full LP confirmed.
Confirmed and certain and 100% guaranteed to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about my own expectations.
Yeah, sure. No, I get you there.
Because the same thing has literally happened with every single one of his games that we've played.
Yeah.
It's always been impressive at first, for what, whether it's for the demo for Indigo Prophecy, or whether it's for the beginning half of Heavy Rain, or the first 30 minutes of Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah.
There's always a blind moment where you're like, oh my god, okay, maybe this time.
And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I want them to succeed. Like, I want that kind of game to exist and be really genuinely good. You know, we got Until Dawn, and that was fantastic.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Like, if this game could be a sci-fi Until Dawn in terms of quality, that would be fucking sick.
I feel like, yes, because they're neat. But if those other people that they said are brought on to rein him in
yeah.
are going to be actually reining his stupid ideas, telling him, no, you can't have Native American alien ghost AI bad guys. Like, if that you have that, yeah. then that's cool. But I feel like he's still going to insist on just the dumb plot twists, the dumb love stories,
yeah.
the really, really tropey hacky shit.
There's still going to be some of that, like, French cinema shit, like girl taking shower scene. Exactly. And stuff like that.
Why does this have to be, yeah. like, stop, you know? Like, I feel like you're going to,
like,
it's going to probably come in the last half of the game.
That, the girl taking shower scene was the one I respected the least for the consistency, but after someone pointed out that that's a France cinema thing, I kind of respect it the most, because it's like, okay, he lives in that, and like he breathes that environment of France cinema. I still think it's like super shit.
But his brain says this is what a movie is supposed to have.
He's that, like he lives in that. So, not that it's good. It's not, but like he lives in that.
If you live in
kind of like a Japanese game where like it's got weird cultural things and you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, you gotta have that cicada school, whatever. Yeah. Or like the hip hop thing where you're like helicopter shot over the city. From the rooftops.
It's not great, but I get it.
Looks
really good.
Yeah, it does. I got nothing else to say there. And I did appreciate the whole, like, this is what your choices do thing in the trailer.
It's really well cut how they showed all the choices too. Yeah.
But the back of my mind is like, but you know, they're not going to matter because they never do. They never do. Why would they now?
They need to succeed at that. That's the thing. Right?
Whether that character that you play as lives, whether the other guy lives or dies, or that girl, or all three of you, it doesn't matter. It's going to be just be a sequence that gets referenced, like, as an event, and that'll be that, you know? What I wanted to say was Until Dawn, I want that type of game to succeed in the hands of other people is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah.
We got to take a look at The Last Guardian's release date, which is October 25th. And
which is great.
That's really cool.
That's within my lifetime. Like,
it's finally happening.
Yeah.
October being VR month plus that is kind of interesting.
Yeah. October's pretty stacked at this point, so.
We're gonna have, we saw that evil guardian that was there.
Yeah, the evil cat.
Whatever that means.
Evil cat, who are you?
And I think right now, at this point, I don't want to see any more footage.
Yeah, no, I think I'm good now. Yeah.
Stop. Now is where you seal it away.
Yeah.
Until the box is here.
I do think, though, I don't remember when Paris Games Week is, or Gamescom for that matter. They're very close to each other. If that's right before then, I think we might get one last trailer.
Or a playable demo.
Whether I don't know, maybe. But whether I want to see that last trailer, I agree.
I really don't. Because
yeah.
Remember, at the end of the day, this is a fucking Shadow of the Colossus / Eco style game.
Yeah.
You don't need more content, because what's there is sparse.
No, exactly. It's like, it's an instant buy for anyone who's into those games, but for anyone who's out of those games, you kind of do have to sell them, because they look so abstract. Maybe they'll have a gun in the last trailer.
We can take a look at the guns and we can take a look at the, sorry, my computer's freaking out for a little bit. We saw a really, really impressive, look at Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes.
That was probably one of the best trailers of the entire weekend.
So, yeah, it was a big gameplay thing. Like a
huge look at the gameplay.
Yeah.
From a lot of different elements. The tethering system, again, although different in this case.
Yeah, different context.
Tethering to the ground as you hunt these robo-beasts.
Yeah.
Super fucking cool. I think if you weren't sold on it, this trailer probably made it, like, put it on your radar.
They showed some of the map and, like, okay, this is a really big world. Like, it's nice, because the core Guerrilla has just been on Killzone for ages, right? And that's fine, I guess. They never really got good at it, because Shadowfall sucked, but, it's nice to see them making something else. And if the story holds up, this might be a fucking killer.
So that's the whole thing now, is just the mystery of the world.
Yeah, what's the twist?
Guard and hold that, and fucking put it under lock and key, and it better not be a shitty twist.
You should check out, and anyone who's interested should check out the trailer that came out just before E3 when they announced the release date. It's like a 3 or 4 minute trailer that is mostly story focused as opposed to what they showed that was gameplay focused. And it ends with a thing that you're like, okay, like a story thing where you're like, okay, what is that?
Okay. There was a 1 minute thing that had a lot of story dialogue in it,
but I
just clicked through it very quickly when I was trying to catch up. So
we'll check it out after. Maybe it was shorter than I remember actually.
Okay.
Really neat.
We saw, Days Gone.
Yep.
And it was a bit unclear as to what, it was like, is this a Last of Us thing? It's like, no, it's just lit very similarly, has a very similar environment, and has a very similar camera. It turns out is a zombie shooter though.
Mm-hmm.
It's by the Siphon Filter team, and it looks like the main threat is the World War Z style zombie liquid flow.
I'm really happy that they finally get to put out their game, because they've been, like, in 2012, no, in, like, December 2011, Uncharted for the Vita went gold, right? And then they spent the next year pitching Vita games. This is, like, documented, and, like, none of them went through. And then, like, it's been since fucking December 2011 when their last game went gold. Like, that's a long time for a studio to not put out anything.
They couldn't have been working on this that entire
time. So, it's known that they tried pitching another Uncharted on the Vita, they tried pitching an Infamous on the Vita, and another original thing on the Vita. But they've been working on this for at least two or three years at this point. And it's really nice to see it, because they've just been MIA for a while, and they've always been really good developers, so.
It's really impressive.
Yeah, this is,
But it just,
I don't know, they get to make a big cool console game.
Huge Naughty Dog vibes off of it is all I can really say.
Yeah, definitely.
And
it definitely does have that Last of Us kind of look to it. And the enemies are really impressive.
Yeah, that was fun.
They said after the fact, I mean, I know we always have to take these things with a grain of salt because things always change in development, but they said, like, there was no trickery going on. That was actually, the amount of enemies you were seeing was 3D objects actually in the game on a PS4, so.
And there's a fun little detail that was tweeted out after the fact was, all the demos we saw yesterday were running on PS4, not Neo.
Yeah.
So.
I would expect that much.
I wasn't sure.
Like, they looked, you can never really tell until release, and like, stuff always ends up getting optimized down a little bit to get the frame rate up in the in the tough bits, but like,
well, I mean, I'm always willing to assume that what they show on the stage is like, if they get an edge anywhere, they'll take it.
Yeah.
But in this case, they said, no, it's all PS4 stuff. It's not Neo stuff. So things will theoretically look better than what we saw in some cases.
If when the Neo comes out, yeah, potentially.
And that was last night.
There was one other game in there that I thought was really interesting that was omitted from what you were saying, and it was the game Farpoint, the first person.
Yeah.
The VR
part of the VR lineup.
Exactly.
Right.
First person game, where you play as Soldier Man and you got no bullets and you're on a planet that your computer doesn't know where you're at and it doesn't know what's up with the oxygen and doesn't know what's up with the atmosphere. And you're on this weird desert planet and you got no bullets.
Yeah.
And it's
is it even a shooter?
You know? I don't know. You got got a gun, but you got no bullets. So it's like, that's kind of neat. I don't know. And your gun has that scanner thing on it. So
exactly.
I'm just going to buy a VR device because I want it. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. It looks cool. So,
yeah. I think that, this stuff showed up, like all of this looks like the PSVR is the device to get. I just really hope that I'm not locked into only using it with those games and that I could actually theoretically like browse, like, I don't know, play like homebrew or any cool things.
I think that like, if you're lucky, it'll be a USB device, but I don't think it will be a USB device. I think it'll plug into some proprietary shit and then go into a USB device.
Like,
but if you're lucky, someone will make software to let you plug it into your PC via USB or if I buy a
VR headset,
yeah.
I want it to be exactly that and not a peripheral for my PlayStation.
But people are really aggressive on getting Vive to work with Oculus and Oculus versus Vive. And I think that's great. I think that's really genuinely great. Cause I also don't, like, I'll buy a second generation headset to replace the first, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. once that happens. But I don't want to buy all the first gen headsets to play the software.
Exactly.
I want, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, I wouldn't want to buy three TVs if I had
to. And that's what it is. It's not a peripheral in that it's like a...
It's weird because it's almost a standard as opposed to, like, a proprietary thing, you know? All these guys have their own versions of this standard. You know, like, this tape only plays on this VCR.
Yes.
It's kind of bullshit, you know?
This Betamax fucking thing.
And like, it's a bit different because they're all different companies representing their own interests. But at the same time, I totally empathize. I don't want to buy a second first-gen VR device to get to play stuff on my PC if I can even run anything on my shit PC.
And not just playing games, like using VR in general.
Yeah.
I want that to be, I want it to be a piece of hardware I own.
One thing's for sure, you'll have to buy different controllers for each of the devices.
That's
for sure. That's expected.
That's totally fine. So I keep chipping away at it and hopefully Sony and everyone else will lighten up on the proprietary aspects because if you guys don't play together, I'm not saying it's gonna fucking ruin the generation, but like you're gonna not introduce as many people into the side that of like the business that is VR
definitely.
You could if you didn't try to like elbow everyone else out while introducing new technology to the world.
Real quick, because I want to keep talking about this because it's super interesting. But I think you mentioned just the name, the X-Wing demo that Criterion's working
Star
on.
Star Wars X-Wing Experience.
It's by Criterion, who do vehicle shit. That's their jam. That looks fucking dope. It's probably just one mission, but damn, Rogue Squadron memory is just flying back.
It was really pretty.
Yeah.
It stood out.
Yeah. It looks sick. I mean, that's one of the advantages of space games, right? It's like, hey, what's the level geometry? Well, it's a skybox.
Yeah. that's exactly it. So. There was Farpoint. There was the Battlefront thing.
Yeah.
There was VR.
So it's called X-Wing Mission is what they called
X-Wing
it in the
Mission,
end. Star Wars Battlefront X-Wing Mission. And it seems like anyone who owns Battlefront will get it for free.
Mm.
That was implied in what someone said.
And then there was, I forgot to mention this as well, the Final Fantasy 15 VR experience.
Where you play as Prompto.
Play as Prompto and take down monsters. So,
that one's a bit unclear as to
how that's gonna work.
Yeah.
Is that actually part of your same gameplay experience?
Yeah,
or?
I'm thinking it's probably removed from it, but, like, that was a bit of an odd one. It looked, actually really rough. Like, again, I'm going to buy it and I'm going to own 15. So I, yes, I am going to play it, but it looked a little rough actually.
And that too is included with your purchase, right? Like,
unclear, but I think maybe, probably. Yeah. There was another VR game actually. Get your Google ready, that, Sony is, publishing, and the company is, Tangentialmen. It's called Here They Lie. And it was.
Oh, yes. I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah. Okay. It was just announced last night. It did not make the show floor.
But the trailer went up.
Or the conference, rather. Mm-hmm, the trailer went up and it looks kind of like a horror-y noir.
Yep.
Kind of, VR thing. Not really, sure. You know, there was no real word on it, so it looks kind of neat.
It didn't look like anything that wasn't already being done elsewhere, but it,
yeah,
you know, it's another game.
It's nice to see they're dumping money on it. Gravity Rush 2 got, unfortunately snubbed from the conference, but it looked fantastic.
Nier Automata.
Nier Automata. Dude, like, my biggest concern for Nier Automata was that it would just be a Platinum game, and I love Platinum's games, but I didn't want it to be just fight. And, you know, they said that they really like Nier internally at Platinum, and they wanted to make a Nier game. And this trailer really gives me the sense that they are. It showed big open environments. It showed a lot of the elements of what made Nier Nier. And the music is still phenomenal. So, really excited by that trailer. Very thrilling.
Also didn't make the show floor, that didn't make the cut on the stage, but, Neo.
Yes, there was the Neo trailer.
That look for Neo as well.
Had some characters
in it. Showed some more characters, showed off, one or two new bosses and just some more shit going on. I was hoping to see a couple more weapons.
Yeah.
Didn't see any new weapons though. Still excited as fuck.
Second beta in fall.
Yes. Another taste of Neo. And I think, That's the type of thing. It's like, okay, we've made the adjustments.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Try it again.
What you think again.
This is what they did with Tokiden, and it fucking worked.
Oh, yeah?
That game came out. And
how many times did they test the waters?
I think they did it twice. With Tokiden. Okay. Bravely Default, which was, of course, Square Enix. They did, I think, four, which is bananas. But yeah, this works if you can do that. It's hard to ship that many things during your project.
Right.
If you can do that, damn. Because I really think they want to have a AAA winner, because Tecmo's never had that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well, Ninja Gaiden, Once Upon a Time, Dead or Alive, Once Upon a Time. But for a long time, Tecmo hasn't had a AAA winner at all. So.
And, like, the thing is, like, a lot of the changes and adjustments are easy fixes. It's not like complete revamp, treat this environment differently.
Yeah.
Change this AI. It's like, no, just tweak.
The core game already felt really, really, really good. And I definitely don't think it needed like massive overhauls, you know, so.
It's like, let's go straight to Scholar of the First Sin.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is great. Yeah.
I respect that.
No, I think it's fantastic. The other cool announcement that we didn't get, because it's still Japan only right now. Summer Lesson is a launch title for VR.
Oh,
so
shit.
We will be importing that for the channel because we will struggle.
No, you won't.
We will struggle.
What are you talking about?
But we will shove Matt in the VR machine and tell him to teach the little Japanese girl how to speak English.
Import it for what? So that we can't control it because it doesn't recognize our voices?
Just because I want to put Matt in the VR machine and let him struggle. And I'll tell him it's in English. I'll lie to him.
Oh.
Yeah. Bummer Matt's not here. Another announcement that came out of Japan for VR is that there is a Shin Godzilla PSVR experience.
Right. Yes.
So it's, again, just like a level
experience.
Kind of thing.
That's the word we're going to be seeing.
And like so many of these things in Japan, it's like a timed thing where you can only get it for like a month because fucking Japanese company bullshit.
You know what we're getting? We're getting a bunch of VR tech demos is what we're getting.
Yeah. Well, there's a Hatsune Miku one too in Japan as well.
Yeah.
Which I will download.
I feel like we're getting these because like every company wants to test out the waters to see what they can do with VR.
And at the same time, I get the sense that Sony is going around like, okay,
we need you to do something,
or this VR thing's not going to work for us.
It's like, you know what? Test the waters. Yeah. We got you.
Yeah.
Here.
And like, well, you see Batman VR and you see X-Wing, and I definitely feel like those two have been moneyed along a little bit.
Who was it that used the term a fuck ton of money?
Oh, a shit ton of money. It was Crow Team, I think, who make Serious Sam.
Yeah.
And they were offered a shit, quote unquote, a shit ton of money to make the Serious Sam VR Oculus exclusive, yeah. but they turned it down because they don't like the notion of exclusives in VR. So.
Right, right, right. So, you know, like, it's clear that game has started, is rolling. Motherfuckers yeah. are paying for exclusivity.
Well, Oculus has, like, paid for the development of a lot of games. Like, the one that Insomniac just put out, Edge of Nowhere, that, like, Cthulhu cosmic horror mm-hmm. Winter game.
They're just that straight was, up funding
Oculus
the
funded
games.
It. And Insomniac, like, that was a big-ish game for VR.
How do you think, or like, I mean, we obviously don't know too much, but how do you think Microsoft is gonna, like, step into this world?
I really think, like, now that, like, the leaks were totally legit and, like, everything that was leaked was pretty much on point, I really think that once Scorpio is a thing, they're gonna get Oculus support.
That's the only other way to go. I suppose.
Yeah, they might have some sort of specially branded or designed Oculus.
Like, do you go for a
Xbox?
Bundle? Do you, like, you know what I mean? Like, the money doesn't get any better at that point. VR was able to be, like, tailored to be the cheapest of the headsets because Sony is directly making it.
Yeah, and they already have manufacturing stuff in place, yeah.
When you take two companies, you take Microsoft and Oculus, and they pair up now. Like, that doesn't mean your things get cheaper.
No,
that
you're still using Oculus's things at
that usually
point.
Means things get more expensive because both companies need to make some money.
Well, it's clear that they already have a partnership in place. And, like, because the default controller that ships with an Oculus is an Xbox
controller.
One controller. Yep. You know, so they've at least spoken a little bit to get that to happen. That's a big deal. Also, you know, with Microsoft's push to have cross-platform support, we didn't really talk about that, but all of the games they showed were on Windows 10
and
on
PC.
Xbox One.
Sorry, yeah, and Xbox One. That's true.
Windows 10, yeah.
That's actually, we didn't mention it, but that's probably the biggest thing they mentioned on
the
stage.
Biggest, like, for
was
Microsoft?
All
yeah.
of these games were also going to be on Windows 10.
And in the future, they said everything in the future will be too.
Yeah.
So that's a huge deal. But I think that, like, you know, we can see that they have spoken to Oculus objectively about mm-hmm. that kind of stuff just for the controller deal. That's all. And then, you know, they want to get the cross-platform thing, and they clearly want to make PC a certain percentage of their income going forward for their games. I definitely think that Oculus is in their best interest because Oculus helps with both elements of that.
Absolutely.
Not to mention, on top of that, it was rumored that Oculus would work with Scorpio.
Okay.
So, like, that was supposition that I had before, but after the rumors, I really feel pretty confident about that.
It would not be surprising to see, like, major Windows 10 to Oculus, like, compatibility on a base level as well.
Yeah. But I agree. But the fact that, they didn't even mention VR at all, I mean, they couldn't, right? If Sony had mentioned VR and a slimline PS4 similar to Microsoft and also the Neo at the end of the conference, they would be hurting themselves because this holiday season they have to sell VR and just VR. No Vita, they don't give a shit. They don't want to sell PS3s.
Yep.
They don't give a shit.
Yep.
This year, I'm sure they'd be fine not selling PS4s. They just want to
sell headsets.
VR. Headsets in living rooms and that's all that matters. And so they couldn't talk about a slimline. They don't want people upgrading because they want those people, instead of upgrading, to buy a headset.
You know?
They want to create that environment.
So you'll hear about Neo later.
Yeah, and Microsoft, I think that they might skip Oculus support on their old device, as in Xbox One and Xbox One S.
In favor of waiting for Scorpio.
Because next year is Scorpio. This year is Xbox One S with the big price drop and the big games, and not VR this year. So it would have to be like next year or the year after that they even try that.
And as far as their priorities on stage, they very clearly were like, we want to sell you the S. And
you to buy the S now. Yeah.
And it's like, there is a Scorpio and you're going to hear about it next year, but shadow.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that wouldn't be a surprising thing at all to see, like, and here's your VR experience with that.
Yeah, definitely. Or like, I think that's how they'll get in, but it's, you know, they're going to lose some ground on that. And I think for some of it, like, you know, they're going to have to repatch that content in on Xbox One, right? Or say for Resident Evil 7, it'll be, you know, the files will be there on the disc maybe, but they'll have to put out a patch to enable VR. And same with FF15 and Battlefront and stuff. If they want to get those experiences that currently exist, they're going to need to miss out.
Like, yeah, no, I can't imagine it being possible that it's like everything that's Oculus exclusive suddenly shows up on Scorpio. Yeah. Like, I can't see that at all being what that they get. It's too much.
If they could make a partnership with Oculus to get all the Oculus exclusives on them and all, on Xbox, and also all the Xbox exclusives on Oculus, that'd be really good for both of them.
Yeah, that'd be a fighting chance.
Yeah.
But,
cause that would probably make up for the deficit year and 2 years.
But the Oculus games being made right now are not at all being, you know, are considering Scorpio.
Like. No, exactly. So it's gonna be tricky. They're gonna miss out on a lot. Like, I don't think, like, I think the X-Wing thing's exclusive, so that one's invalid. But, like, the Prompto one in FF15 and Resident Evil 7, I think, are the two, like, best examples where they're gonna come out on PS4 and they're gonna support VR from day one. Not Final Fantasy, because it comes out before the kit. But it will support it as soon as the kit comes out, right?
Yeah.
But on Xbox One, like, you're gonna have to wait another year and a half, so who even knows if those companies are gonna wanna go back and patch that content in? Like, is Microsoft going to have to, like, pay them to go back and make another patch to make that content work on Xbox One a year and a half later?
Yeah. Who's paying for that?
Like, does MS have to pay that? Because then they'll lose a lot of ground, and they're late to it, to be blunt.
And, like,
so.
What kind of price tag do you put on a bundle for a new, stronger Xbox One and an Oculus Rift?
I mean, like, Sony doesn't even have a bundle, because it's $400 for the PSVR standalone, I think, and it's $500 with the controller and with one Move controller and PlayStation VR Worlds, that piece of software, right? So with a PS4, which I think is $350 is the retail price,
yeah,
plus the one that comes with a controller, like a Move controller, you're looking at like $1,000 with tax, right? Like,
and the PSVR hardware is
$400 or $500 in America,
right?
Yeah.
Off the bat, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, in Canada, it's like $600 because our dollar's so bad.
So you go up to like Vive prices, basically.
Yeah. So you look at the Xbox and it's like, okay, Scorpio is. I'd be amazed if they're able to launch Scorpio at $399. At the same time, I don't think they want to repeat $499, because that was a bad time for them. So I don't know what I don't know what the dollar sign's gonna look like at the end of that Scorpio price tag, if it's gonna be good or bad. But, you know, definitely the headsets, if it gets cheaper, it's not gonna get a lot cheaper. It's not like Oculus is, like, their order volume isn't so high that the cost is gonna, like, hit the floor or anything. Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're looking at at least the same prices as the PS4 VR, unfortunately, for Microsoft.
And you don't fucking get in unless you're committing, you know, too.
It's expensive. Like, I know Matt doesn't really have interest in buying one. I was talking to him about it last night when we left, just because it's not, the software isn't really there for him. And like, it's a huge investment. In Canada, it's like $700, for like the full PSVR bundle with everything. And like, I'm getting it because I love just bleeding edge hardware.
I'm seeing a lot more now that is selling me,
like, compelling stuff.
And I'm really, really curious, you know, to just see what that experience is like. So it's hard to say, but like, we'll definitely see. One other thing I want to say about the whole Windows 10 to Xbone thing as well. Is like, from the way Matt was describing things with that, it's very much like the cross-buy things you get with your Vita to PS3, exactly.
Definitely.
Where, like he said, he'd download an update for KI and just go home, and then it just like, yeah, syncs up, got this, got
on,
that,
on
got
his
that,
PC, yeah.
All purchases or whatever, and it's there, and you're basically switching between one and the other.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's a really great experience when it works. It's really good. Unfortunately, Vita, PS3, PS4, they are kind of kneecapped because the save sync doesn't work perfectly. you have to manually upload it to the, like, cross save thing.
Right.
Like, PS4 automatically backs up your saves, but those PS4 save files
are,
because of the file type and et cetera, file doesn't literally work on your Vita.
You're not accessing that in the same
space.
Yeah,
you have to go like in game and cross save. And some games like Rogue Legacy have an auto cross save, which is really nice.
What's it called? Dragon's Crown?
Yeah, I think that had
Dragon's Crown.
I think that had an automatic cross save.
It was manual.
Was it manual? Manual?
It was manual, yeah. But it was a cross save that like was for your thing.
The manual cross saving that like 90% of these games have to do really kneecaps the experience a lot, but it's still there and it's still really, really good. So it looks like with Xbox, they have it in a more automatic fashion. As far as my understanding goes, if Matt's Killer Instinct experience was described to me correctly. And that's great, because cross-buy is really fucking good. And I hope Nintendo... They've already done cross-buy for a few of their products, like the last Mario vs. Donkey Kong and the Smash DLC and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I really hope they go whole hog for their next... I mean, it looks like they will if the rumors are correct, but I really hope they do. Because it's a really, really good experience to just be able to literally just hit your Wi-Fi and then... play on your console or switch over to your handheld and
or whatever
go
the fuck.
And,
yeah, just don't think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to take a look at a new trailer for Deus Ex.
Oh, yeah,
Mankind
totally.
Mankind Divided, fucking shaping up, looking sick.
Looks good.
Looks fucking sick.
Did you see the trailer for Breach as well?
Breach is a thing.
Breach looks sick.
Breach is a thing.
Yeah.
Had some people on the inside on that one.
Yeah. And, no, I've been really excited to see this for a while, but, it's really sick. So it seems like it's like a single player focused mode with leaderboards and stuff and loot boxes, cause loot boxes are the hot shit right now, but, the art style is really nice in Breach.
On a personal note, it would be nice to see Eidos Montreal, like, regain its luster.
Yeah.
After Thief.
Thief was,
Because we
worked there at the time.
And we did. Like, and, you know, and there's no way to, like you can give excuses, but at the end of the day, a game hit the market and it asked you for $70.
It was subpar.
And
like,
that was a bad experience for people.
Yeah. I mean, I think we both have a certain amount of affection towards it because we worked on it for so long.
And
stuff,
we know what it could have been.
And we know what it could have been.
We know what it was supposed
to
be.
You know, all the stories and shit, but like,
a product is a product.
It wasn't great, so.
You know, so like,
I also hope they can.
Mankind Divided
that.
Looks like they can go back to like the fucking shine that they got when they were the hot new kids on the block with Human Revolution.
What a miracle Human Revolution was.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just crazy that it turned out as well as it did.
And we know that, like, you know, not all the same people are there.
No,
but,
definitely.
But a lot of the key people
are. Matt's not there.
Matt's not there.
That's a big game changer.
But,
he's not there to draw. Matt was one of the most Matt at Eidos is probably the employee who put in the most art hours out of any employee at Eidos Montreal.
Out of the entire art team combined.
Yeah, exactly. He had the most hours on
art
out of any person who worked
despite
there.
Despite the fact that his desk was in the QA department.
He had the most hours doing art. Oh fuck.
And then, this morning we finally got to Nintendo. Pokemon, Moon Sun, whatever. Zelda.
Okay, but Pokemon Hustle
or
Pokemon
Flow.
That's the question.
You need to write it. Fuck it. Fuck it. Watch me work.
He's doing it right now.
Watch me work.
He's got his mouse. He's got his keyboard.
We're going in.
He's starting it. He moved a window onto the desktop. It says, strawpoll.me.
We going in.
Type your question here. Pokemon : Hustle ? Or Pokemon : Flow ? Enter poll option. Hustle. We got Hustle. Option number one. We can't tell them our answers now.
Nope.
We can't say our answers
now. Nope. We can't influence
flow.
It. We just two. I don't want
just two. No, that's it. That's it. That's
no bullshit third or fourth options.
Yeah.
Duplication checking.
No, that's fine. Create
it's
poll
fine.
Like that. That's good.
Done. No fucking.
Okay, now post that on the subreddit.
All right.
And don't say a word about it. Just
fuck the subreddit. I'm going straight to the Facebook and the Twitter and everything else.
Everything.
And we're going to see. Oh, no, I can't do it from here because I'm logged in somewhere
else. We'll do it in a minute. Yeah.
We'll do it in a minute.
Before the podcast is live, yep. That's for sure.
I am adding this to the docket list. This is going to be a part of the
Pokemon
news for this week.
Hustle and Flow is for next week's news.
And we need to know what the fuck you prefer because let's get real, right? We do black, white, red,
yeah.
Blue.
Yeah, of course.
Sun, moon, all yeah. That shit. That time is over. We need to know what the fuck is up. I can't decide.
I can't either.
Like, I can't.
You kind of have to buy both.
And then, exactly.
Yeah.
It was a really hard one. There's advantages on both sides.
Definitely.
And I'm not about to fucking go sell in one or the other. We need the people to speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're going to see this before they even get to listen to the podcast.
Before this podcast goes up.
That's it.
The blind votes. I'm excited to see how the blind voting goes.
Raw.
Yeah.
Right? Oh. No influence whatsoever.
Stick it up to the top of the Facebook.
Yeah. Raw.
Fuck something that matters. Pin to top. Yeah.
This
done.
Is so real.
Okay,
because
cool.
We have
cool.
Had zero chance to influence it up until this point.
So yeah, we got there and we watched, I guess, 40 minutes of Pokemon and it looks good, but.
And then our souls re-entered our
really,
bodies because
yeah.
Zelda showed up.
None of us wanted to watch 40 minutes of Pokemon, to
Yo.
Be honest.
They took Zelda and they changed it like they said they were going to.
Yeah. Kind of remarkable. And like, so for Resident Evil, they like big bold change, changing to a type of game they never did before. But to
God
me,
of War.
But to me, it like doesn't really 100% look like Resident Evil
yep.
ever did.
Yeah.
But then you look at Zelda and even though they changed it so much, it still looks like it fits perfectly with Zelda.
Any given moment to moment experience. Like, well, you're still seeing Link, of course, and you're
yeah.
still seeing your heads up and stuff. So, yeah, you're fighting Moblins. That's
the
a Zelda
feel
game.
Of everything.
But I can say that I will say that, like, if the art was any different, if the character was different, and I don't know, maybe there was a more, like, a custom character aspect to it.
Right.
I could have seen that as a totally different game.
Yeah, possibly. But then when you look at it in the context of Zelda, you're like, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that. Looks just like a Zelda game.
So, you know, like, so we had a few details that popped up that weren't mentioned during the thing, but you said no towns in the game.
No towns.
Just a handful of NPCs.
No female Link, as an option. Not at all.
A little bit of voice acting
another
we
one?
Heard.
Yeah, we heard some voice acting, but then none of the characters proceeded to voice act at all. So. Unclear.
Might just be that one girl voice.
Maybe. But fuck damn.
Yeah.
That looks like damn. Holy shit.
Wall
that looks
climbing.
Amazing. It's gonna be hard to complete the Twilight Princess LP.
It's gonna be
with this
rough.
Knowledge in our head.
We'll have some shit to talk
we'll
about.
We'll have a lot to talk about.
But it's just gonna be bitching about what the fuck's going on.
Why can't I climb this wall? Why can't I climb that wall?
Fuck this horse. I want my wolf Link by side with
yeah.
Link at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though he's not doing much because the AI is kind of shit right now.
Yeah. But like, yeah.
Why can't I slow time down and
shoot
my
arrows from the air? Why can't I jump?
Fuck.
Why can't Lonk jump? But like, so it's a big open world. They had talked about how there was not necessarily going to be any one static direction or route to get into any dungeon or what have you. And when they showed it, that definitely became apparent. You know, you can climb a wall to get to the dungeon. You can, chop down a tree to make a path across cliffs.
Yep.
You can,
like, and it's like physics are like
yeah.
helping you get across. It's
physics,
not like a preset tree shortcut.
Yeah, physics seem like an actual core game element.
In multiple ways.
Yeah, you
block pushing magnets,
magnet block pushing.
Yeah, like they're really not playing
yeah.
it like a grid.
Pushing boulders down hills and seeing it roll and
yep.
hit enemies.
Yep. Yep.
Enemies now have health bars with damage numbers on them.
You have equipment with stats.
Yeah. Items are now, like, dropped and distributed more like a Western survival game, than, like, a Zelda game normally would.
Yeah.
Loot. Loot items. Like, weapons that
crafting.
Break. Crafting.
It's really pulling in a lot of things.
Yeah. Very, like, I want to say it's a bold new direction, but, it just feels so natural, you know? Like, I don't look at it and feel like it's a departure, but to me it just looks like Zelda, you know? So I think
just,
it's awesome.
And like, I feel weirdly that, like, I wish this happened, like, three games ago, But yeah, I don't mean that I wish the 3 games ago that we got didn't happen.
I wish this game could have come out 3 years earlier and, like, saved the Wii U, you know?
That's it. I mean, that's really it.
That's really it. It's like, the Wii U came out, Nintendo went, we can't make HD games. And then it failed. But, fuck, damn, that looks like a really impressive game.
This is gonna move fucking NXs.
This looks easily, like, unless there's something we don't know, this looks like their most impressive internal game by far. Ever.
Probably the most staff on it.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth.
And it makes me wonder, like, it is made internally at Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
Right? I guess so. Yeah. I mean, sorry, I mean, like, EAD specifically. Like, right? Like,
well, yeah, they're probably pulling, like, 50 or 100 guys from some other studio.
But it's like, I don't know, could Retro be, like,
sitting in there?
Like, it's known that Western game development is way ahead, technically. Yeah. From Japanese game development.
Are Platinum making assets? Again, you know? But like what are we doing here?
This game finally looks... And like, Pikmin 3 is a showpiece. Super Mario 3D World, in scale, is actually a very, like, small game in terms of assets and stuff. And you can see that in the size footprint of the game, where it's only, like, 1.3 gigs or some stupid thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these games, as fantastic and impressive as they are, they're all... controlled or small in one way or the other. And this finally looks like a legit, like, modern AAA game.
Yeah. You know? We were talking a bit earlier about, like, the whole, like, free dungeon, free item, thing. And, like, comparing it to Link Between Worlds and how you'd go to the Rovio and get his...
Ravio.
Yeah. And just rent items.
Yeah.
So if each of those item rentals were actually just a little trial dungeon.
Yeah.
Then you could still, in theory, progress in any order throughout the game.
Yeah, definitely. I'm wondering, though, because they said there's more than 100 trial dungeons. I'm thinking, this is just a guess, that probably there's a lot for each type of weapon, and the first one gives you that. Because they said there's more than 100, and there's not more than 100 tools in the game.
Tools in the game, yeah.
They might reward you with, like, heart pieces and stuff like that, but...
Special arrows of some kind. Yeah, okay.
The one thing that I'm not skeptical on it, because I think this game looks amazing, and for some reason I just trust it 100%. I just fucking want to play it right now. But I'm a little bit unsure about how they're just handing out, like, junk items all over the place. Like, there was a spot where they bombed a rock near a lake. A rock wall, more like. And usually in a Zelda game, you'd bomb a rock wall near a lake, you'd go in, you'd have a little area, and you'd have, like, a heart piece in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here, they bombed the rock wall, and behind it was this tiny alcove with a chest that dropped, like, 10 arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, are the days of, like, small secrets all over the place in Zelda games, you know, are they maybe gonna go by the wayside? Is the intent now...
In exchange for it all over the place?
Yeah, is the intent now that the shrines replace all of those little secrets, and now those little secrets just become loot garbage that who cares, you know? Cause, like, now I look at that rock wall, and I'm like, that mystery is not valuable because I know that it, like,
it's probably shitty
loot. You know what I mean? And I don't want loot. So I'm not skeptical, but I guess that is skepticism, isn't it?
There's also the fact that you can just go raid a camp and probably get some good shit off of the moblins.
Use your stealth.
Yeah.
Like,
get their weapons. Now you've got new equipment to use. I'm wondering, what I'm curious about is, like, okay, so we know the experience of wandering into an open world and just going in one direction and just seeing what the fuck happens. But random kid that needs to be kind of guided or handheld in some way to play a game like this and to wants to get to the next story beat.
Yeah.
What type of experience is there going to be to, like, really fast forward, not fast forward, but really, like, get you to the next Zelda story point?
I think,
is it just, like, go to the God Ray?
I think that,
or that little message we saw that says, hey, go to this shrine.
Yeah, they did actually have little helper messages to remind you to get back on task, but I think, a lot of people underestimate what kids can do. You know, like, it's not The Witcher 3, you know? Like, it's not actually complex, go talk to people to find out stuff. I think it'll... Because when you look at this game, and when you spin the camera, you can instantly see there's that and that. Like, there's focus
Death
points,
Mountain,
right?
Glowing barrier thing.
And if you just go towards those focus points, I think you'll be fine, you know?
Which is Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
You know, although the light button... to shine your sword and follow.
It's not really, yeah.
It does show you a pathway. Yeah.
But I definitely think, like, the physical language exists there. And they're, like, all the objectives are these glowing, like, pyres of blue and color. Red color.
These fucking color beams.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I think it might be fine. I think, like, as with any Zelda, the more esoteric secrets will be hard to find. But, like, you know, when you look at how well kids navigate in, you know, Minecraft and games like that, you know, I think it shouldn't be a problem for kids, really.
If there's no towns, though, and a sprinkle of NPCs, I really hope that we're not looking at, like, just a field of 95% moblin camps.
Yeah.
And then just, like, a dude standing over there, and that's it.
That's definitely a bit of a little
that
minor
could be that,
concern,
it's possible.
The shrines, like, okay, the dungeons, we didn't see them. Maybe they showed one, but we didn't see them. The dungeons will probably still be, like, legit great content, no question, right? Like, I don't see why they wouldn't be. Maybe one's badly designed, but whatever.
Yeah.
The shrines, same thing. They're a lot smaller, but I feel like they all seem like they're worthwhile.
They're little puzzles.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I wonder how much they're gonna be able to spruce up the overworld in regards to things to do.
Like, we know that you can run from them giant alien things, and you can fight a bunch of moblins.
Yeah.
But what else we got?
Yeah. I think my biggest question is, so they've gotta have borders, right? So that there's an end to the world, basically. And I don't see them, like, putting, like, stupid mountains as the border, because that's stupid. You know, just having stupid tall mountains that you can't climb. Just some rock face.
That doesn't work with your climbing.
That's not how continents work. And so I'm really wondering, is the landmass going to be surrounded by water
by
that
water
you can sail
on? The edges? Oh, okay.
Like,
where you can actually do a circle?
What's the edge of the landmass?
Yeah.
Because it's got to be water, or it's floating in the sky or something like that. But what's the edge of the landmass? And if it is water, can you sail around? Because we saw the
little raft.
The raft, and the raft's really limited, but if you could get a boat in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would be a classy way to, like, not have to have you, like, just, you can't go here anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's infinite sea in that direction.
Yeah,
so.
And so you just do the Wind Waker thing and turn them around at a certain point, or.
Could be.
Or even go crazy and do the Mad Max thing of, like, make the area
the big
just,
nothing.
Unconquerable.
But really good loot is out here.
Because I'd be really disappointed if the edge of the world was just, like, it's not gonna just be invisible walls.
A wall.
It can't be, that's stupid, right?
Yeah.
It's gotta be.
No, I think so.
Water or air, I think.
But it's also, there's gotta be a Hyrule Castle somewhere and, like, a Zelda.
I mean, there's gotta be a Zelda, but will the Zelda be an alien? Yeah, no.
You know? Or is she just another wandering person in the field like you? Like,
that'd be dope. That'd be super cool.
What's going on?
I mean, the Temple of Time is fucked up.
It was just a bunch of rocks.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know.
They showed so much. They showed so many hours.
Almost too much.
And there's, the style of presentation was
we sat and
cool.
watched longer than we really should have.
Yeah. They just started meandering through the same areas and it got a bit dull after watching 3 hours of meandering through the same areas, but they showed so much. I mean, they didn't show temples, and that's kind of a crucial thing, but they showed so much, and yet we still know so little. There's so many mysteries, and I find that really compelling, you know?
Yeah. I was hoping to really, like, see a nice cap on the whole thing with, like, a good boss fight or a good temple.
Yeah, definitely.
To really just show you that it's like, and then here's the stuff.
I really want to see, because we couldn't stick around because we had to record this podcast, but I really want to see if they did stream a temple or something after the fact. Because that would be, I don't know, that'd be really exciting to watch. Because I think that's just the missing piece right now.
That's the only thing, exactly.
We saw these shrines and they're fine, they look good, actually.
Also,
but,
how the fuck is the NX controller going to let you play this? What is it? What do we got? What are we doing over here?
Definitely. And, what does the NX version look like? I'd love to see that too. You know, we're not going to see that for a minute. But
if you know the answer, you can send us a letter.
If you stole a build of the game from E3 on your SD card and you need Cat R files,
oh my god,
we will hook you up.
Oh my god, no, we won't. Nintendo, send your lawyers away. Get out of here, lawyers. We'll break your bones quickly.
Oh, here. By the way, you want to hear something? Just a quick update, real quick. God of War has no loading screens and a lot of RPG elements. So, neat.
one big contiguous world that you
that
can
is
explore.
That is not just a camera shift. That is a genre shift.
Yeah. That's really cool. Anyway, go on.
We got a letter coming in. Let's take one from what is your name? Your name is
that tough?
Yeah, your name's Jamila.
Hey Jamila, what's up?
Jamila wants to know what silent protagonist should have stayed silent after they were given voices. How about this? What not silent protagonist should be silent?
What character should be quiet?
Who's someone that has a voice?
That has a cooler cast around him than...
That should have been a silent protagonist. Tidus.
I want to say Edge Maverick, but I don't know if that would make the game better or way worse.
Edge Maverick is?
Star Ocean 4.
Okay.
Nappy Time with Edgy,
yep, okay.
Et cetera. That might make it way better or way worse. And in the inverse, who was silent and started talking and got bad? That's a tricky one. That's a tricky one. Maybe just because I can't name many games off the top of my head that did that.
Cloud started talking and then acted like a weirdo. But then everyone came to his defense and said, no, it's because of all of the shit he's been through and he's not a normal person.
Was Faith silent in Mirror's Edge?
Faith was not
she
silent.
She was not silent, okay.
She had
I played that
big
one
scene where she hugs her sister early okay. on.
Because I only played it at launch, so.
Yeah, I'm going to say Tidus.
Okay. I think Isaac Clarke was silent in the first game, if I remember correctly. And then he became not silent, but that was good. So that doesn't count.
Okay.
But that was good. And I'm struggling to even remember any other characters.
Gordon Freeman.
Mega Man to Mega Man dot EXE.
No. Oh, well, okay. I don't know about that. I thought you were going to say it
to X.
Whatchamacallit? Dash. Mega Man Legends.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love Trigger.
No, yeah, me too.
Trigger's great.
Walnut.
We got one coming in from Paul. Paul says,
hey, Paul.
What's your favorite Skybox? I feel like we answered this already.
Favorite Skybox. One that I am really fond of, is actually the Skybox in one of the early chapters in Uncharted Golden Abyss. Because that level really shows that they tried to do as much as humanly possible on a handheld console. And that was the second AAA handheld game ever after Resident Evil Revelations. Actually, I can't remember if that came out just before Revelations or not. And for some reason, that Skybox from Golden Abyss really sticks out to me. It might not be the best one ever, but as far as like fidelity on any handheld ever goes, it's just really, really impressive how much they put into that to really give you that AAA look on a handheld.
Mine is not even really a game, but Attack on Titan, opening 2, right when those faces fade away and you see the birds fly up into the sky.
Yeah.
That's the sickest skybox I've ever seen.
It's a really nice sky.
That's the most beautiful sky I've ever seen in a thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm fucking gonna say that every single time.
Also, like, almost any game where, like, stuff happens in space. Because then you look at space and there's shit floating around in space and you're like,
Yeah. Okay, we got one coming in from Daniel. Derek Ubermensch, Screamlords. I recently picked up Revengeance, since it was on sale.
Nice.
It was my first Metal Gear game, and it was
weird.
Fun. But I found myself in a fever dream that is the Metal Gear Wiki, looking shit up like, who's Sunny? Who's Otacon?
Oh, God.
Why did he fuck his mom? Who are the Patriots? My question is, have you ever played a game where you were so lost by everything everyone said that you had to stop and research the shit out of the series? You made a mistake, and you shouldn't have done that.
That's a really confusing place to jump in.
You really should not have done that.
Go start from the beginning and just do it.
You owe it to yourself to actually play those
games. Hopefully you're not in too deep.
Even, like, perhaps
you
only
be.
Care about character action games. I don't know.
Yeah.
But...
Even then, Metal Gear is the character action of stealth.
Yeah.
A game that I just leapt into... Mortal Kombat, like, 9.
Oh, yeah?
I had very little knowledge of Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
At all. I just never... It never actually really appealed to me or interested me that much. When I started playing Mortal Kombat 9 on the Vita, I kind of knew a bit from, like, you know, you pick up a lot, but yeah. I didn't know a lot of the more nuanced, even now I don't, but I remember after MK9 on the, when I played it on the Vita just before MKX came out and I was kind of like into it, I was like, okay, I really need to like just buckle down and take my 101 on this.
I feel like I don't usually do that. I usually like go and find out what I need to, mm-hmm. or at least at the very least play the order that you should.
Yeah.
But, there's definitely been some recent examples that I feel like are mostly self, they're not self-contained completely, but you get a satisfying story just going through these. So, SMT4.
Yeah.
Persona 3 and 4. I sure, didn't play yeah. the earlier ones.
There's a lot of context to be garnered.
So that stuff, exactly. Yeah. And Front Mission 3.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
I got one other one, but for different reasons. And it's Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Uh-huh.
Because when I started playing that game, I felt like I missed a whole semester of classes. I had that feeling I got when I was, like, 8 years old and I first opened up Adobe Premiere, an early version of Adobe Premiere on my uncle's laptop. And I was like, what the fuck do I do?
Is it that heavily related to Xenoblade?
No. But it's just so, there's just so much.
So much going on.
Like, there's a lot happening in that game.
Okay.
And like, you gotta get your license and, yeah. but you've also gotta pick your, like, your group, and there's the, like, 8 hunter groups or whatever they're called, the 8 blade groups that yeah. all have different goals and objectives, and there's the side quest. Like, that game, you could take a college class on yeah. that. And it would be even, and then you'd be prepared.
Back when it first came out, your first time playing Shenmue could be totally baffling and like just ADD riddled because yeah. you're like, everyone is willing to talk to me, but I have to run by and ignore them.
There was literally nothing else quite like it. Like,
yeah, is it, I can just go get a job here. What do I do?
Yeah.
You know, and you have to put up blinders for
yourself.
What
a special experience.
Yeah. And nowadays, I feel like we're used to it from playing Assassin's Creed games
yeah.
and stuff like that, where it's like you put up blinders and just go, nope, I don't care about all this extra shit. But back then, that was one of the first times where I was like, there's fucking everything.
It's tough, because now we're conditioned to expect that every, like, NPC like that has, like, one thing attributed to them, like, one side quest.
Or something like that.
And
yeah.
so, like, they're devalued now as NPCs. And you kind of know that you're just gonna talk to them just for that, and then you've squeezed all the value out of them. Whereas, like, the first time you're in a game like that, it feels very special because you don't know. You don't know the ebb and flow of how that works. And
it's not that it's, like, not linear. It's just we're not used to, like, a pine cone. Not a pine cone. a pine branch-shaped, you know, progression system. Oh, we got one coming in from Jay. He says, why are there so many fishing games? Is it because fishing is so much fun in real life?
Yo, fishing is dope.
Probably. I really hated it the one time I did it. It's boring as fuck.
I don't know.
But
like,
virtual fishing is super fun.
Fishing's popular, so. And I mean, like, fishing games, you know, they can't be the most expensive thing in the world to make.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have another answer for that.
Yeah. Like, the few times I've sat and played, I had to test a fishing game once.
Oh, that doesn't sound too enjoyable.
It was great.
Was it?
It was really
fun.
Wow,
I'm surprised. Was it like a novelty one, like River King or some shit?
Super duper forgettable fishing game for the Wii.
Oh, okay.
Put out by some shitty company.
Mastiff.
Never went anywhere. But it was fun, and the guys on the boats looked super creepy and terrible. The fish, the water layer was awful.
Nice.
But I dangled that shit, and I pulled the fish in, and I was like, yeah, I gotta fight that fish left and right,
Good job.
Also, Naruto had fishing in it in the mini game which we played.
And yeah, a lot of games.
I ended up enjoying those a little bit, but I got sick of them.
I hope the new Zelda has fishing.
Fuck Big the Cat. James Small, if you're listening, no. That doesn't fucking count. We got a bit... Yeah, you know what? I'll save that for next week, because that requires more people. Some dude's calling us out for, like, our Dawn of War knowledge or on our Warhammer knowledge in general.
It's limited.
And it basically says, apparently... Pat's claimed to be a huge fan, but I don't know. I don't feel like I remember that.
I would call Pat out on that.
Yeah, I feel like we all kind of said we like the thing from a distance, but don't know enough about it in depth.
No, like, I don't know. I played it a bit when I was younger, and like, I like it a lot. I worked on some of the games.
Some guy has
I'm not going to say I don't know nothing.
Yeah.
And I like it a lot, and I am a fan of it, but I don't like... religiously follow or anything. Yeah.
And I've talked about...
I stopped my White Dwarf subscription many years ago.
If
that means anything to you.
No, someone sent a giant, like, a trivia test thing to go through to see how much we know or whatever. So, like...
Fuck us.
Maybe next time.
We're gonna get 0% of that.
Right?
Yeah.
And let's take one last one from Joe, okay, aka Chia's best waifu. They're super stranding Scrublords. Now that E3's pretty much over and Sony has presumably won, if we're still doing that, but it's clear that they had the best conference, I'd say so.
If I had to pick a best conference.
I know, it's just, I like the whole, yeah.
No, the notion of winners and, like, I want everyone to win, you know? But I do think Sony hit the best one, if that counts for
that
anything.
That was the best conference. Yeah. Tell you what. No, I'll give it that.
How long until we see another conference? It's wall-to-wall like that.
Games, AAA, all quality. Yeah. I'd still like to know if you guys think E3 is even necessary. Would you rather have these big scripted yearly specials or smaller, more concise events throughout the year? That's a good question, man.
I don't know. I think E3 is still necessary, because that's the thing that really, like, blows up everything and, like, legitimately does create a lot of buzz and ends up creating a lot of money for the industry, you know? And without it, like, I know it's just a big ad, but that's like saying are gigantic ads necessary?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. So that's, and I think that this is kind of like Super Bunny Hop would probably agree and say, like, no, it's not necessary. You get enough hype.
It's not
right?
objectively necessary. You could just make the game and release it and put out ads in Game Pro. And that's fine.
Exactly. You turn the page. Oh my God, it's out.
Yeah. The Last Guardian's out. What?
Playmates?
Yeah.
I never knew.
Yeah, exactly.
High Seas Havoc is out.
I think
it serves the purpose of like unifying all the news and hype for a lot of industry outsiders, right? Personally, I would love if we got nothing but Nintendo Directs from every company throughout the year. I would prefer that universe, but I am fully aware that that would be terrible for business and it would not have the giant, like, the industry's birthday is E3.
Yeah, and I do think that, like, I love Nintendo Directs. I think the format's great. But I do agree with the sentiment of, like, all boats rise with the tide.
That's
you know? And I think E3 is good for everyone who participates.
It's an industry thing. Like,
yeah.
CES is not necessary, but it fucking helps everyone involved with tech.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And
it goes for TGS and Gamescom and,
you know,
Paris Games Week and stuff as well. Totally.
And on
PSX.
And in the background, like, we know now, especially that it's like this, it also serves as a, like, a state of the union behind closed doors.
A little bit, yeah.
A lot of meetings occur, a lot of, like, talks and things like that. People get together and just sort of, like, you know, you get the business all in one space. And, things happen from that. So, it's totally not necessary, but it doesn't hurt. And the feelings I get from it being kind of like overblown and getting inflated and sort of like seeing it blow up into E for All that back a few years ago and stuff.
Yeah, that was bad.
You know what I mean? Like, after seeing all that stuff, it's like there's definitely something you feel a negative on it, from being so close to it. But when you zoom out and look at the grand scheme of things, it helps way more than it hurts.
And I think, you know, I know we all, and I know for myself, like, we all get really excited over a lot of the stuff we see. But, you know, it goes without saying, or maybe it does have to be said, that you should always, you know, go into these with a healthy dose of cynicism. All the stuff you're seeing may not reflect the actual experience. All the stuff you're seeing, you know, it's an ad, you know, they want to show their products in the best light. And it's nice to revel in that light and be excited alongside everyone else and enjoy the spectacle. Cause really, like, that's what they're providing. And like, I definitely don't agree with the idea of, like, blindly just going like, yeah, everything shown was great and perfect and there wasn't any flaws and there wasn't any problems. And you still have to think critically about these kinds of things. And, but at the same time, I think, like, too much cynicism where there's people who are like, yo, just don't do E3. It's like, come on. We need to find a healthy middle ground.
Fuck hype.
Yeah. Fuck announcing the release dates of games in front of people. You know, like.
Who needs that shit? It's, there was something you brought up before where, cause I retweeted a really cool tweet some guy made, on and where he just kind of analyzed how many announcements at each conference were brand new.
Yeah.
How many were known announcements, but still just new information, and how many were games that are already out. And I was like, that's a really good metric for like the quality of a conference.
Yeah.
And then you brought up that,
yeah, the other one that Kotaku ran where, I think it was Kotaku, where, every year they look back at the press conferences from last year and see if the promise is held up. So where they say, okay, PlayStation Vita will have 50 titles released during its launch window. And they'll be like, okay, actually 60 came out during the first 6 months. So that was the actual result. Or, PlayStation Vue will be released in, you know, 13 states. And then, oh, actually, it came out in 9. So, So you get to look down, like, a really detailed breakdown of each one.
And get to see, like, how they actually held up since the last time they were talking up there.
Kind of hard for them to fuck up this one, because there was no dates attached to anything except for Horizon and Last Guardian and
the
Lego
VR
Star
hardware
Wars
itself.
And VR hardware.
Yeah.
All of those seem like fairly static dates, yeah.
But no, that's exactly it. So it's kind of like...
Those are good metrics, those two, yeah.
But yeah, it definitely helps more than it hurts. And we're all close to the industry. We follow the news every day.
Yeah.
We see the updates. We talk about it on a weekly basis.
Definitely.
Like, we're not the public at large.
No, we are fringe. And it's very liable that a lot of you guys listening are like extremely, not fringe, sorry. We're the extreme core. We are the like 0.1%. And it's liable that a lot of you guys listening are also within that 0.1%. You know? And this is the thing where they say you don't want to see how the sausage is made. You know, when you're close enough.
You're sitting in the eye of the storm.
Yeah, when you're close enough to see all the, you know, the nasty things Konami did, when you're close enough to have arguments about how a game is being marketed or, you know, stuff like that, you know, that's the point where the cynicism hits and you're like, oh, should we even have an E3? You know, this is all just marketing talk, but E3's not just for the 0.1%. This is the mainstream event that hits everyone a little bit.
And I remember being a dumb kid that was like playing video games, but I didn't know anything about how they were made and whatnot. And even I knew E3 was a thing.
Yeah, no, E3 gets, if you know almost anything about games, you kind of know tangentially that E3 might be a thing. So
yeah,
it's pretty.
Back in the day, like I knew the words E3 and I knew JAMA.
And that was enough to get
you
by.
That was all it was, you know? All right. And with that, we can check out what's coming up. More depressing Zelda.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
We have to record that like tomorrow.
Because we actually do have to finish it.
Yeah.
We can't just sit and talk about how we want. Breath of the Wild, which we never said, by the way.
The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild. Rules of the Nature.
Yeah. The stream archives from this weekend, Pat's a little ill, but he should be getting them up soon.
There's nothing to stop you from watching them on the Twitch VODs.
Yeah, they are on Twitch. Some of them don't have the correct name, I think.
I renamed it.
Okay, but like the PC gaming one and the Ubisoft one are in the same video, because we never stopped, right?
It's Ubisoft and Sony are the same video. We had a break.
Because remember we had PC and Ubisoft right next to each other for a while?
Yeah.
Anyway, they're all there, though.
They are all there.
Including me and Pat's embarrassing test footage. It's like 4 minutes of, like, wanking off
in
front of the camera. It's all there. If you guys want to check it out, it's on our Twitch page, twitch.tv/superbestfriendsplay.
Should show back up on the channel, but it's there for now.
Yeah. We will, I've seen a lot of people asking, we will be recording the Resident Evil 7 first hour demo as soon as humanly possible.
Once people aren't sick.
Pat, again, is sick, so we're not gonna do it without him. We all love, well, most of us love Resident Evil, and I think he does, so.
But say we all, you say we all love Pat, and I was gonna go, whoa,
say anything we can't take back now. Hey.
We do have another episode of the Box Art Critique.
Yeah, I watched this one. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I think,
how much did we fuck up?
I didn't know a lot of things. I think the third box art for Bare Knuckle, the nicest one, is a fucking masterpiece, and I love that art. And I was kind of hoping you'd like it more. But one thing I noticed about it was the art Matt picked for it was really oversaturated and not reflective of the original colors, and that was the one that you guys ripped open for being way too orange and stuff. It actually has a bit, like, dialed back colors a little bit. But I thought the video was good on the whole. I like that Matt threw up his exposing Final Fight 2 for just stealing, like,
what the fuck?
It's probably the same artist, but like,
we don't know for sure.
There are like 8 different things that are all like borderline identical.
It's so blatant.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But that was a solid video. So
yeah, and that's
like
up
an
right
hour
now.
Long. Yeah.
So
it is up right now.
Yeah. So this is fine. Everyone's gonna hear it after it's already out. We've got more Star Fox.
Yeah. The finale of Star Fox actually. Is that Wednesday?
That is happening on Thursday.
It's coming up. I'm not gonna lie, we do have some gaps in the schedule this week, partially because of E3. That was the major thing. When Wooly went to the con and then E3 back to back, we lost some time. So we have some gaps, but hopefully our E3 coverage will make up for that.
No downtime in you guys' eyes. Footage to
everything goes back to normal, 2 videos a day, I believe on the 20th, as far as I can see. It should be the case.
Yeah. And, we are going to have a small reboot.
Reboot!
Sit tight for that.
Yeah.
We
never got the Guardian Code the game.
Well, kudos to that trailer.
That's good.
I laughed, and then we waited, and then I
and
laughed
you laughed
harder.
Again, yeah.
Good shit. Keep it up.
That was fun.
Good work.
I want to do it again next year.
And last but not least, more Revolution of the Humans.
Yeah.
Of the DS.
Nier continues. Uh-huh. I got to say, Pat named the main character in Nier Lucky Ted.
Oh, boy.
I saw a comment the other day of a guy saying, I can't wait to see what, like, lore this adds to the character Lucky Ted, right? And for those who have finished ending D of Nier, there is a profound, profound bit of humor in the idea that Nier adds lore to Lucky Ted. And only people who have finished ending D will get that, but like.
Sure.
It was such a, like, the way he said that comment, I was like, oh man, this guy just doesn't, how could he know?
Yeah, so, okay.
I hope you guys are enjoying it, cause Nier is a very special game.
To you.
So.
And.
To many. To many, it's a very special game.
But it's especially special to you.
It's very special to me as well. Yeah, definitely.
That wasn't meant to be like only to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like nobody else.
That was meant to be like it's like pretty much.
I adore that game. Yeah.
I like the idea of there being some continuity to some of these ridiculous characters.
Yeah, definitely.
It's fun stuff.
Well, we get that, you know, sometimes, but
Rage is now a basketball player.
Exactly.
We don't know what's gonna happen next time. But, that's going down. And lastly, of course, I said lastly already, so this is, like, extra stupid. Shouldn't have said that.
Yep.
Salty Bet. Enjoy.
Salty Bet.
Enjoy some bets.
Enjoy it.
All right.
Eagle-eyed viewers will notice we recorded it between E3 conferences with the same setup.
Yep. Eagle-eyed viewers will notice I'm wearing the same shirt
from
the conferences during that video with the L on my chest, which, you know, sometimes you got to hold
that L.
You
got to hold it. Yeah.
He called out Berserk. And he was right, and I was wrong.
Oh my god, we didn't even talk about Berserk.
Not much to say, but Berserk happened.
I'm excited.
Berserk fucking happened.
I'm shocked and happy that it's also on the Vita.
Yeah. I didn't think that was gonna be Berserk, and it was, and I'm super wrong, and I wore that L shirt, and right now I'm putting it in a place, where Pat keenly observed, he's like, is this shirt gonna be a thing?
Everyone's gonna wear
it. And it's like, I'm not even gonna wash it.
Fuck, that's gross. You sat in that shirt for like a day.
Well.
That's gross.
Well, don't be wrong.
Yeah, never lose.
Never lose.
Just predict everything perfectly and punish exactly every time. Thank you.
soon I'll come around.